but you're gonna have to wait another minute on the porch. Oh, no, no, it's a dangerous thing, pouring alcohol on an old flame. Better hide the wine and get it gone. I better hide every one of them records that turn me on.
I'm setting fancy free because she wants to go. She's tired of loving me. She told me so. I guess she don't know just how much she means to me. But along with all my dreams, I'm setting fancy free. Yes, I'm setting fancy free, even though I love her still.
she'd be no good to me if I held her against her will. Even though that girl, she's the best part of my world, along with all my dreams, I'm setting fancy free. Oh Lord, you just don't know how it hurts to say goodbye. She did her best to stay, I can't say she did not try. I just hope the road she takes leads back to me. So along with all my dreams, I'm setting fancy free. Yes, I'm setting fancy free, even though I love her still. She'd be no good to me if I held her against her will. Even though that girl, she's the best part of my world, along with all my setting fancy free. Yes, I'm setting fancy free, even though I love her still. She'd be no good to me if I held her.
This is Dick and Country, J98 The Boot, KTJJ Farmington, Festus St. Genevieve. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at MyMoInfo.
Drive away in the all-new Mitsubishi Outlander Sport all-wheel drive ES for only $18,789 and save over $5,300 today at Munganass St. Louis Mitsubishi, or check out the new Outlander ES all-wheel drive. Was $26,360, now only Munganass priced at $22,489. Munganass Mitsubishi on Lindbergh in South County has a full service department for all Mitsubishi owners. Go to MunganassMitsubishi.com and see their entire lineup and get expert financing. Price includes all factory rebates and factory discounts, all given in discount prices, destination charge, tax, license fee, and administrator fees not included. See Munganass St. Louis Mitsubishi today.
Victories were achieved, losses were suffered, odds were overcome, and the teams left it all on the gridiron. It's time to recap the week that was. It's time for the most in-depth sports coverage from the Parkland to Jefferson County. It's time for the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable. Here are the highlights from the previous week.
They're going for it on fourth down, 13 yards to go for the first. Snap, it's going to be a handoff on an end around. Now a reverse coming to the near side, getting the edges. Jaden Rystrom, Rystrom all the way into the end zone for the score. Fourth down and 15 from the 33-yard line, getting all of it and then some.
Fisher makes the throw, a slant pass over the middle. It's caught and going all the way to the end zone is the receiver. It's Nager. Touchdown, St. Pius. A slant pattern opens up the field, and within eight now are the Lancers.
Option play left side, they give us to Harris. It's a pitch behind him. Harris reverses field, and he's only got one man to beat. He's to the 30, to the 20, to the 10. Touchdown, Royce Harris. He cuts it back on what was an option play maybe gone wrong, but when Royce gets it, it all goes right. A 60-yard touchdown run.
There's the pitch, and that size more up the middle. Stiff arm, shoots the gap to the 10, to the 5, and another touchdown for Tyler Sizemore from 33 yards out.
Fourth down and 6. Claps his hands, takes the snap. Looking to throw a slant pattern over the middle, and it's caught, and he's in for the touchdown. Cameron Croninger took it away from Damon Guthrie, who was in coverage, and then he lunges into the end zone for the touchdown.
Get the insight from the players and coaches themselves.
I think we got some guys, you know, this season that, perhaps aren't going to be on, a lot of guys' radar, but they're going to be able to do some really good things for us.
And I believe, yes, we do have the firepower that nobody else has had.
Each year we've been trying to progressively get into, quote unquote, a blue-collar type mentality.
We go in thinking we're going to win district championships, state championships, make runs. I mean, we got to do what we can do.
Follow along on Twitter at MIMO Info Sports and at KJF Sports.
Hi, I'm Hannah Cole, and you're listening to the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable. Don't just follow the herd, lead the herd.
Now, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington, here's your hosting duo, Matt Greenwood and Sean Malone.
Hey, it's Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington as we get ready for postseason mode. Sean Malone here with you. Matt Greenwood making his way down Highway 67 to us right now from our Festus AM 1400 KJF affiliate. We've got Chad Speaker here and Andy Humphrey. Nick Lewis is not on with us tonight. He's out covering some district volleyball right now, Class 3, District 2 on the AM stations, AM 800 KREI and AM 1400 KJF Festus. They just topped North County at 2-0, the final in that one. Let's turn back to the football action, though, that happened this past week. It was all over the place this past week, too, as we had some Thursday, Friday, and Saturday games for you on AM 1400 KJF. On Thursday, I covered Troy Buchanan visiting the Festus Tigers, senior night for the Tigers, and they put up quite a fight against a tough Class 6 opponent. Almost came away with the victory, said not for a few mistakes made late towards the end of this game. They would have topped a Class 6 opponent, and who knows what they could have done to the district standings. Instead, they fall to Troy Buchanan. We'll talk a little bit later on about where they stand in the district and who they'll be playing coming up. It's a game that we'll have for you on AM 1400 KJF this coming Friday night. The Coles Tractor and Equipment Web TV game, Valley Catholic was visiting St. Pius, and Valley Catholic held off a mad St. Pius second half rally where St. Pius cut it to an 8-point game after being down 28-20 at the half, Chad.
Yeah, it looked like Valley was going to put him to bed early, and then here comes Pius. So, what a great at least effort by them, even though they don't come up with the victory, Sean, because especially with a program like Valley, a Valley hits you hard and fast early, and most people probably say this one's over, okay? We're looking forward. But Pius didn't. They didn't give up at all and finished strong in that one.
And this is the St. Pius team that's having an impressive season, too. Yeah. Early on, you kind of wonder, all right, where are they going to be standing towards the end of the regular season? Putting up a fight like that, especially in the second half against Valley Catholic, you got to imagine they're for real.
I would think it would be certainly something to build on as they go into the playoffs.
That's kind of what the mentality was with Festus after their game was. With the fight that they put up against the Class 6 opponent, if they play like that against most anyone, shy those few mistakes, they're going to be trouble for most anyone. On AM 800 KREI, Chad, you had Farmington topping Central 30-14. A lot of mistakes for Central and a lot of capitalization from Farmington.
It was, and Farmington took advantage of all those mistakes. But for both teams, I will say it was one of the most physical games that I've seen all year, and I talked to two-way lineman Ethan Burke after from Farmington, and he tipped his cap to Central. He said that was the most physical game that he'd ever played in. He said at the end of every down, he was either getting up off the ground or getting up off of someone. So, he was really happy with the win, but he definitely showed a lot of respect for Central, even with the Farmington victory.
On AM 1400 KJF on Friday night, Poplar Bluff topped Hillsborough. This is another game that looked like Hillsborough was going to run away with it early on. They were up 14-0, and then things just fell apart. Poplar Bluff dropped 30 on them. Coach Freeman after the game kind of said that he thinks his guys got a little shook by a punt return touchdown. That Poplar Bluff scored on Hillsborough. And, this is a young team. Again, it's been something we've talked about all year long. A lot of turnover from last year's team to this year's team, and still in week 9, we're seeing repercussions of that.
I've seen both those squads because they both played Farmington, and Hillsborough beat Farmington, and Farmington took care of Poplar Bluff in a game that the score was actually a lot closer than it even probably should have been. Poplar Bluff still has some pretty good athletes, but as a whole, I would have probably guessed that the Hillsborough program was probably on better footing. We talk about Hillsborough losing a lot. If there's a program out there that's around that Bluff probably even lost more than they did, I was a little bit surprised, but Hillsborough kind of came in limping into this game, and they came in limping out of it as well. That they've had some injuries, and they, next man up is an easy thing to say, but it's a lot harder thing to execute.
And Andy, on J98, you had another good defensive battle where the DeSoto Dragons got a late score, came away with a 7-3 victory over the Potosi Trojans.
Well, it really was a nice win for DeSoto. It's usually a close game like this throughout the last couple of years. Last year it went to double overtime between the Trojans and Dragons. This time the Dragons, they're able to get it in regulation, and we're trailing for a lot of this. Potosi got the field goal in the first half and about the second quarter. Potosi's defense looked strong throughout, even though DeSoto was moving the football. There were takeaways on both sides. DeSoto turned it over four times, Potosi three. A lot of mistakes on both ends, but in the end, DeSoto able to punch in a touchdown and ended up being the difference. The Trojans had a few opportunities to do that, but just too many missed chances to get into the end zone in that last game. It would have been a big win for them, but DeSoto now has a winning season.
And just, you know, DeSoto wins over Hillsborough. Potosi, Chris Johnson's done a nice job with that squad.
He absolutely has. It's been a step forward for his team. He's been talking about trying to take that step forward and be one of those programs that's discussed in, you know, who's going to win the conference championship or who's going to be, you know, moving on in districts and whatnot. He's trying to bring this program up from where it was, and he's done a good job this year in moving them in the right direction.
It's been a weird building process for him because he came in with a really strong senior class, if you remember, a couple of years ago.
And they started well.
Yeah, they had Caleb Keim. They had Zach Smith at quarterback. They had just good talent at a lot of different spots.
Great wide
on
receiver
that team.
With a high jumper over there.
Yeah, and so they had that, and then they lost all that in his second. So the second year is where the rebuild kind of began because they had that hot start in his first year, and then they had the second half slump. But then you lose all those players. Then the rebuild really begins from the ground up in that second year. Now we're seeing the repercussions of that towards the end of year two. Briar Fisher and Clayton Snudden really developing a good connection between the two of them. Other games throughout the listening area. There was one other Thursday game. It was Seckman falling to Eureka 55-15. And going back to the Friday games now, Crystal City got their first win of the season as they topped Grandview 27-20. Crystal City head coach Dan Fox says his team's attitude helped win the game.
Positive and optimistic. You know, we got a pretty tough schedule, and every game's a tough game for us, actually. But our kids, after watching film, felt they had a chance. They carried it through practice throughout the week.
Fox topped Northwest 49-7. Fox head coach Brent Tinker says it was a team effort.
A lot of kids played great. Bobby Nybert, my fullback, had another great night. He came out, and I think he ended up with like 60 or 70 yards. Just great blocking night. It was really a team-oriented win. I know that defense. Just so many people playing great tonight. I'm very proud of the kids.
Jefferson edged St. Vincent 21-20. Jefferson head coach Alex Rugley says they did what was needed to win.
Doing our thing that we've done all year. I think that played a little bit on our heels there in the fourth quarter, but it's one of those things that our kids made a play whenever they need to there at the end. It came down to a two-point conversion for the St. Vincent went for it. We were fortunate enough to come away with a one-point win.
And St. Vincent head coach Tim Schumer says his team played strong.
Quarterback did a great job finding receivers open down the sidelines, and then receivers did a good job of making it as much yardage as they could get and then still getting out of bounds so we could preserve as much time as possible. And we drove it down. We were at about the 7-yard line, and we're able to score with 5 seconds to go. And being on the road against a tough opponent, I decided to just go for two, win it right there. And unfortunately, we weren't able to capitalize. But at halftime, I just challenged the team. I said, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Let's go finish strong.
Now, just to jump in real quick, Chad, I like what he said there. It's not how you start, how you finish. And that really summarizes the entire regular season for St. Vincent in one line.
It does. You know, we talked about St. Pius maybe building even on a loss as they head into postseason. I think St. Vincent can do the same thing. I talked with Coach Schumer on Friday night after their game. Tip of the cap to him because they score with 5 seconds left. You're on the road at Jefferson. He says, guys, let's go win it. You know, they go for two. It doesn't work out. But I think if I'm one of his players, I love the fact that let's play to win this thing. Let's go after it. And that could serve them well in the postseason.
You like that the coach has confidence in you, in your offense, to be able to get it in there, pull out, you know, coaches will typically have one or two two-point plays in their back pocket that they'd like to show. I'm not sure if you went to one of those or something else perhaps, a little more creative or, you know, more basic, just a run up the middle. But you like to see that he has confidence in you guys to go win the game. He wants the ball in your hands to win it.
Plus, you know, you have the momentum. I mean, you just scored. There are 5 seconds left. You have the other team on their heels. If you go into overtime, you know, it kind of resets a little bit. Yeah, you do still have that momentum, but I don't fault him at all for going for two.
And Andy, you've been covering this team since the training camp reports with Coach Schumer. Tough start to the season for St. Vincent, but what a turnaround they've had as the year's gone on, getting better and better.
Yeah, they got the wins underneath their belt. They needed that mentality, and they are going to look back on some of the games that they won. There are some pretty good ones there. I mean, especially the rivalry win against Perryville, where they kind of came from behind a little bit and had to get that touchdown late to kind of seal the victory there. It was a really nice win on that night in Perryville. And this team, you know, with Tim Schumer, a young head coach, we got to say that he is kind of building up a rebuilding process as well. He wants to bring this St. Vincent squad back to when they were winning state titles earlier in this millennium. So, I mean, it is going to be a process, but he's looking to be a pretty darn good coach to be the man for the job.
Other Friday night scores include East Prairie over Fredericktown 32-22 and St. Genevieve top Brentwood 49-20. Dragons head coach Ken Weick had praise for his offense.
Felt real good about our offense, obviously. You know, 7 touchdowns, they clicked. You know, we had one bad snap. We got a new guy at center, and he snapped the ball kind of hard. Chad did a good job of knocking it down. They scooped and scored on that one, actually. It's probably the biggest, you know, the only hiccup our offense, I think. But just did real good, ran the ball well. Chad looked real good throwing the ball, hit a real nice read, and did some good things with the ball.
Windsor, they top Bayless 50-0. Windsor head coach Alex DeMatteis says it was a good night.
Well, it was a good night overall. Everything was clicking on both sides of the football. Special teams went very well. Proud of our young men for putting it all together.
And Charleston tops Herculaneum 46-6. And on Saturday, it was Perryville over Sumner 48-0. Pirates head coach Blaine Boss was pleased to end a 4-game losing streak.
I thought we played well, obviously. We came out with excitement and energy, you know, which we haven't had the past 4 weeks. You know, we were excited to be there and play football, you know. We wanted to be there. Our kids were talking on the sidelines, you know. It was just nice to see that for a change. And, you know, I think that kind of helped our start, got us going early. I think we got up 14-0 pretty quickly and kind of never looked back.
We'll be joined by some members of the Perryville Pirates this evening, offensive and defensive line head coach Wayne Sheets, as well as quarterback Drew Hotop and running back defensive lineman, a 6'4", 260-pound running back in James Roden.
Running back?
Well. Yes. And he's
their
legit,
fullback, yeah.
And he's a legit 6'4", 260. Oh, They're not, like, exaggerating his size or anything. He's legitimately the same size as former Giants running back, Florida Gator Brandon Jacobs, who is the same size. So, yeah, I feel bad for anyone that has to tackle him. And then we got John Burroughs, they top North County, 42-36 on Saturday to wrap up the regular season throughout the listening area. We'll take a break, and when we return, we'll break down some of the games that we covered throughout the listening area, starting first with KGF's Thursday night game where Troy Buchanan edged out the Festus Tigers by a point, 39-38. That's coming up next on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington.
Hi, this is Sharon Jones. Pet owners are talking about Pajama Party Kennels.
Ruby loves it. As soon as we walk in the door, she's always wanting to greet everyone and be up at the counter to see the dogs there, or Galen or Sharon. And the classes are always wonderful. They care and they love my dog. I recommend them to our neighbors, to our friends.
Put your pet in the good hands of Pajama Party Kennels in Peely, 636-224-7505 or at pajamapartykennels.com. We're a division of Jones Animal Health Clinic.
So what do sports and Patsy's Furniture in Park Hills have in common? Well, if you want to hit a home run with your new furniture, you need to see Chris and Jamie at Patsy's Furniture. And if you want to score a touchdown with your new furniture, hey, see Chris and Jamie. And if you like working with the home team, well, I think you know by now, you need Chris and Jamie at Patsy's Furniture. Hey, that's where I go. They have a great selection, friendly people, and great pricing. So score a touchdown, hit a home run. Heck, just head to Patsy's Furniture in Park Hills, right off Highway 67 at the Parkway Drive exit. Now that's a winner.
Are you ready for an exciting new career that offers job security, flexibility, and independence? Rankin Technical College in Perryville is now accepting student applications for a 10-week CDL training class. The Gilster Mary Lee Corporation will provide the necessary funding for program training if your application is approved. You'll receive a benefits package which includes miles paid by the hub, paid downtime, unloading allowances, vacation Christmas and holiday bonuses, plus insurance. Call Mike Welker today at 800-851-5300.
The Potosi R3 School District is committed to excellence. Now, they're proud of their students and their athletes because these young people work hard and show a ton of dedication. The Potosi R3 students and athletes are committed to excelling to high levels of achievement. Attitude and perseverance play a big part in their success. The Potosi R3 School District sincerely hopes this school year is a wonderful and memorable stepping stone in their life's journey.
It's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable on J98 Loop. Before we get to the Thursday KJF game, we want to let you know about Team Up for Kids, the latest initiative from Buffalo Wild Wings, where they're teaming up with the Boys and Girls Club of America, where you can donate $1 or more and get a pinup, or $5 or more to get a limited edition pop socket available while supplies last. When we team up, we could change more than 500,000 young athletes' lives by 2020. Turning our attention now to the KJF game that we had for you on Thursday night. Festus Tigers ending their season a little bit earlier than everyone else throughout the listening area as they fall to Troy Buchanan 39-38. And you know, before we get to the game itself, Chad, this kind of gives the Festus Tigers a bit of an advantage. They got an extra day of rest over most other teams. And when you include Perryville and North County playing on Saturday, that's 2 days of extra rest.
Couldn't hurt, I suppose, right? Yeah.
I mean, they were offering, because of the official shortage, there's less officials this year than they've had in years past. They offered a number of teams to play on Thursday, and Troy Buchanan and Festus had the opportunity to move their game from Friday to Thursday, and they jumped on it in week 9 of the season. Why not?
It used to be more common, and Sean, I know that you asked Coach what game he was going to go to on Friday, and he had something a lot more important to do. I thought that was really cool.
It was at a game, and it was the Hillsborough Hawks game that Matt covered on Friday night, in fact, and his daughter, who is in a wheelchair, actually performed with the dance team at halftime. Yeah. So, Matt, I don't know if you talked with Coach about that. Did you have a chance to go find Coach Schmidt?
No chance to talk to him, but I did record the most of the performance.
Oh, great.
So, and I tweeted it out on KJF Sports, so it's available. You got to do a little searching for it. It was a few days ago, but yeah, it was really cool. I actually got a chance to see on the field Coach congratulate her, give her a little pat on the back, and then walk off. So that was it.
And
it
he surprised cool. her as well. She had no idea going in that he was going to be there. So
yeah.
He told me that it was going to be a complete surprise to her.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to see her surprise face, but it was covered in makeup. You know, Michael Jackson thrill. You got to kind of get into it a little bit. So I didn't get to see her surprise face, but yeah, it was really cool for me to actually just catch that moment where he congratulated her and you know, all that good stuff.
Unfortunately for the Hillsborough Hawks, they fell in that game by a final of 30-14. We'll get to that one in a little bit. But first, turning now to the Thursday KGF game, the Festus Tigers, they showed good fight in a close loss to Troy Buchanan on AM 1400 KGF. The QB for Troy Buchanan, Kendall Hutchinson, would get things started with a QB sneak from a few yards out. Wide receiver to either side. It's going to be a keeper. Right up the middle goes the quarterback, Kendall Hutchinson. Nobody was on top of the center, Gavin Land, and he just stumbles his way into the end zone. 7:43 left to go. It is 6-0 favoring the Troy Trojans. Right there, the A-gap was just left open on both sides, and they had no one over the center either, so just a QB sneak, an easy score for Kendall Hutchinson. Not sure if it was a miscommunication there, if that's just how Festus planned on aligning. So with the score 7-0 following the PAT about midway through the first quarter, the Tigers would recover a fumble, and they capitalized with a run through the pile from Chalmer Brickhouse. It is 4th down and goal from that 2-yard line. Overload formation to the near side, and now they're going to flip to the far side, stepping up to the line of scrimmage as the wing back is Austin Anderson next to the tight end. Handoff up the middle to Brickhouse, who's into the end zone for the score. Chalmer Brickhouse, I don't even think he looked to see if that gap was open. He just lowered his shoulder and powered straight through everyone into the end zone for the score, and the Tigers are within one. They trail 7-6 with a point after coming. 7-7 with the point after knotting up the score, and on to the second we go, where the Trojans would regain a one-score lead on a run from Alze Walker. Going motion to the far side is Alze Walker. It's an option to that far side. Pitch to Walker. Walker able to stiff arm a defender, lowers his shoulder through another and into the end zone for the score. An impressive run from Alze Walker, using the long arms of his 5'11" frame to stiff arm a defender and keep him away, and then lowers his shoulder and fights through a shoulder tackle of a Festus Tigers second defender that came in and into the end zone for the game's second score with 10:54 left to play. So that would make it 14-0 Trojans, up by a 7-point margin once again. And on the next drive, the Tigers, they would attempt their first pass of the game at 3rd and goal from the 2. And while that pass was on target, the Tigers would come up empty. Under center goes Doyle, 3rd down and goal from the 7. Fake handoff to the near side. Rolling is Doyle. He's looking to pass, and it is dropped by the tight end, A.J. McKenzie. Colin Doyle still searching for his first passing touchdown of his career at the varsity level. It does not come on that play there. And A.J. McKenzie, he owes him one. McKenzie was wide open, nobody within a five-yard radius of him, and it was almost too perfect of a pass. The Tigers, following that third down and goal, would go for it on fourth and goal, and an option pitch would be tipped and the fumble recovered by the Trojans. But going back to that third down play, Matt, A.J. McKenzie wide open in the end zone, and he really owes Doyle one, because not only would that touchdown have been a huge factor later on in this game, but that would have been his first career touchdown pass at the varsity level as well, and it got dropped. In fact, that's one of two drops that could have been touchdowns in this game.
Well, that's a bummer for Doyle. Honestly, when it came into the season, I don't think Coach Schmidt knew, was it going to be Austin Cole or Colin Doyle. Colin Doyle a little bit younger than Austin Cole. So, and they're not really a passing type team. So the fact that they went to that play shows that Coach Schmidt is maybe trying a little something different, trying to get Colin Doyle a little bit more into the passing game, because he might need it in the playoffs.
Yeah, certainly you want to have balance in the playoffs, and they tried it just a few times throughout the game, and well, they had touchdowns with both of them, but they were dropped by Trojans receivers. By Tiger receivers. The Trojans, they'd add on a field goal as the first half clock would expire, giving them a 17-7 lead at the break. Things would get a little wild in the second half as the Tigers would tack on a score on the opening drive with a touchdown from Austin Anderson from 62 yards out. They'd recover a Troy fumble, then Jaden Rystrom would find the end zone from 73 yards out. The Trojans found the end zone again behind their steamroller of a running back, Colin Nichols. Scores it 25-22 in favor of the Trojans when the dust began to settle, but it wouldn't stay settled for long as the Tigers would go for it on fourth down and 15 and found the end zone on the play of the game. They're going for it on fourth down, 13 yards to go for the first. Snap, it's going to be a handoff on an end around. Now a reverse coming to the near side. Getting the edges, Jaden Rystrom. Rystrom all the way into the end zone for the score. Fourth down and 15 from the 33-yard line. Getting all of it and then some. A two-point conversion from the Tigers made it 30-25 in their favor. On the next drive, the Trojans once again put the ball on the turf, and the Tigers recovered with a little over 10 minutes left in the final frame. Festus's Jack Robinson reached the end zone. Jackson McFarland, the receiver on the near side. It's going to be a handoff to Jack Robinson into the end zone for the score. Goes Jack Robinson fighting his way through the defense of the Troy Trojans. And now it is a 36-25 lead for the Festus Tigers with a point after coming here. Tigers up 38-25 late in the contest, where the Trojans made one final push. They got it to a one-score game when Kendall Hutchinson, the quarterback, reached the end zone on a 41-yard scamper. That cut it to a six-point lead on their ensuing drive. The Tigers went for it on fourth and two on their own side of the field. The Tigers would barely convert, and the sticks would move without a measurement from the officials. However, the football gods had other ideas on who should have possession one play later. Handoff ball is loose on the turf, and the Trojans say they have it. They do. Momentum can shift in a moment, and there you have it with 6:59 left to play. Following a huge fourth down conversion from the Festus Tigers, all that energy shifting to the Trojan side of the field as they recover the fumble that got punched out on the play. I mean, you could feel the wind get sucked out of the Festus side of the field, their sideline, all the way to the roadside, which doesn't have any stands behind it, but they didn't need it. The Trojans, they were going nuts on their sideline, because I'm surprised there wasn't a measurement. It was really close for the officials to eyeball it. Surprised the Trojans didn't even just ask, hey, can we get a measure, at least as a courtesy, slow down this Festus offense, give your guys a bit of a breather.
Slow down the offense of Troy Buchanan that was just rolling point.
The Festus Tigers offense, because at that point, the Festus Tigers were up by two scores, and they just converted on a fourth down and two. It was about their own 40-yard line where they converted as well. So it was a huge play, that fumble by the Trojans. So the Trojans, they didn't let the opportunity go to waste as they tied it up at 38 with another touchdown before the PAT gave them a one-point advantage. And that's all they would need again, as another poorly timed fumble allowed the Trojans to run out the clock. After the game, head coach of the Tigers, Russ Schmidt, felt good with how his team played.
We feel very good about ourselves right now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a disappointing loss at all. I mean, our kids came out and grabbed opportunity by the throat tonight and competed for 48 minutes against those guys and just played their backsides off.
Tigers fall to 4-5. They'll host the DeSoto Dragons on AM 1400 KGF Friday night in the district's opening round. Matt, you're going to be calling that game, a tough loss for Festus. I don't know if you've spoken to Coach Schmidt yet going into that game, but he's got a lot of confidence with his team just heading into the playoffs in general following that Thursday night loss.
Actually, Ryan Reinheimer will be doing it, our program director up there.
Is he officially? Okay.
Yeah, because I'll be doing the Hillsborough softball Class 3 semifinals and championship Friday in Springfield, which I'm looking forward to that and hope they are too. That'll be on KJF. Anyway, thanks for the plug, Chance, there. But, yeah, you know, going up against St. Francis Borgia was a tough pill to swallow. Coach talked about lack of focus, lack of energy, lack of just being in the game. And to then go the next week, on a short week, albeit, to play a Class 6 school and have a lead late and, you know, put up maybe their best fight of the year, win or lose, yeah, it's going to shoot their confidence through the roof, because I can only imagine at least half, if not most of those guys, were pretty beat up after losing to Borgia, and they probably had some sort of player meeting or coach maybe yelled at them long enough, who knows. But they certainly righted the ship, and obviously you got to see that firsthand, Sean, on Thursday night.
Coach Schmidt challenged them after that Friday night loss to Borgia, and they had a great week of practice and really showed on the field, putting up a good fight in a one-point loss. We'll take a break, and when we return on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable, we'll break down the Coles Tractor and Equipment Web TV game of the week, where the Valley Catholic Warriors topped the St. Bias Lancers 34-26. That's back after this on J98.
Are you or a loved one facing the thought of having to move into a nursing home because you're no longer able to care for yourself or your loved one at home? Consult with Community In-Home Services in St. Genevieve before you do anything. They provide in-home care to seniors and the disabled to keep them in the comfort and familiarity of their own home. So give them a call at 573-883-8997 to set up an appointment, or visit them at 1010 St. Genevieve Drive. Community In-Home Services in St. Genevieve, serving you and yours since 2002.
It's time you try Little Caesars and Herculaneum's Extra Most Bestest Pepperoni Pizza for just $6.55. It's wall-to-wall with delicious pepperoni. Or how about their Ultimate Supreme for just $9.99? Also, check out their great-tasting wings, crazy bread, cinnamon crazy bites, and so much more. And don't forget Little Caesars' mouth-watering dipping sauces. That's Little Caesars, just off 555 at the Herculaneum exit. And be sure and use the Little Caesars app so you can pick up your order when you walk in.
We're back live at the Hunter's Choice 2018 rally. And Matt Cernak is at the podium now. Let's listen in.
Hunters of America, I'm here to offer you your choice of up to $3,000 in free accessories with a new Polaris ATV or side-by-side. You deserve to make your choice. Join me and gain your hunting freedom this season with free hunting accessories on any new Polaris off-road vehicle, only at Cernak Motorsports.
Hunter's Choice 2018. CernakMotorsports.com.
It's that time of year again. Open enrollment for Medicare Part D. Premiums, copays, deductibles, and formularies change each year. Changes that can cost seniors a lot of money. At PharmaX Pharmacy, we offer all senior patients or those who care for them free help to review Medicare Part D options. Drop by or call us to schedule your free consultation today. PharmaX Pharmacy in Bonterre, Ledington, Potosi, Imperial, and Festus. Visit us online at pharmax-rx.com.
Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington. That's where we are for the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable on J98 The Boots. Take a look at the Coles Tractor and Equipment Web TV game, Valley. They top St. Pius 34-26, holding off a wild St. Pius second half rally that probably made the Warriors sweat a little bit in the second half. Maybe not Coach Judd Niagara, who's always confident in his team. I don't think he ever sweats in a game, but I mean, that. I think a lot of Valley fans might have been thinking, uh-oh, this could be a bit of trouble here with a big rally from St. Pius. We'll get to that one, but first, the game started off with the Valley Catholic Warriors late in the opening quarter is when the game would have its first score as Valley Catholic's Kellen Bloom reached the end zone on a four-yard run.
Valley again looking to go quick. No huddle here. Dunlap claps his hands, hands it off again. It's Bloom. Bloom going to the left side. Bloom's got a lane. Bloom at the five, going for the end zone, and he is in there. A touchdown for Valley Catholic. And the Warriors take a short field and go for six. It's 6-0. Valley on the road.
And that would kind of spark things for the Valley Catholic Warriors as they would go up 7-0 with the PAT. Then Carter Roth would enter for the quarterback Chase Dunlap for a score. Valley then would knock through another PAT to make it 14-0 following that score and continued their ground dominance on an end-around to Ryan Grind for another touchdown in the second.
Here comes a man in motion. It'll go to that man. Running around the sideline is Grind. Grind's got a first down and more. Grind gets around the edge, and Grind to the 5 into the end zone. Touchdown! What a dial-up there from Judd Nagger. Out of the timeout on 3rd and 11, they do it on the ground, and they get 6.
And with St. Pius seemingly already on the ropes nearing halftime, Valley finally went to the air with Dunlap as he threw for a touchdown to Tyler Bloom, making the tally heading into the locker room 28-0, favoring the Warriors.
Rolling out, going to the left. Now he's going to throw across his body towards the right side. In the end zone, is the catch made? It is! And it's Tyler Bloom!
So, Andy, at this point, it's 28-0 favoring the Valley Catholic Warriors, and that's what the score was heading into halftime. Most teams, I imagine, in week 9 of the season, you're facing Valley, would think they're out of it, but St. Pius, they really stepped up in the second half.
Give credit. They faced a lot of tough competition this year, and Valley is really one of the tougher opponents that they'll face, too, because they have hit their stride for sure going into the second part of the regular season, stockpiling a lot of those wins like they like to do. But St. Pius, I mean, it was a tough contest for both teams. I mean, it's a good tune-up, I would say, for playoff time for both of these teams. And you do have to admire the effort that the Lancers were putting forth in that game that we're about to tell you about.
In need of a wild rally, St. Pius, they started off on the right foot in the third as they took their opening drive for a touchdown run, thanks to Dustin Birch.
Another handoff to Birch. Birch eludes a tackle. Birch is into the end zone. A touchdown for St. Pius. Looked like he was going to be wrapped up at about the 10. Emerged out of there as if he was shot out of a cannon. A touchdown for St. Pius, and they're on the board.
Valley would lead 28-7 following the PAT. That would be one of two touchdowns in a row for Birch, making the score 28-14. And then the third quarter rampage wouldn't stop there for St. Pius as they made it 20 unanswered with a Carson Fisher connection to Riley Nagger.
Fisher makes the throw, a slant pass over the middle. It's caught and going all the way to the end zone is the receiver. It's Nagger. Touchdown, St. Pius. A slant pattern opens up the field. And within 8 now are the Lancers.
So at that point, 20 unanswered from the St. Pius Lancers. That game went from thinking, oh man, this is going to be just a one-sided, typical Valley Catholic contest. They blow them out in the first half, pull away a little bit more in the second half, and then a couple of the second strings for both sides get in, and everyone goes home.
That's usually how it goes, isn't it? But you know what? I don't know if Andy touched on this, but St. Pius, to me, is one of the more athletic teams that we have in this area, and Coach Woods knows it. I've seen them play firsthand. I know it as well. And Coach Nagger, I'm sure, had an idea, a sense that they were a team that is very quick and can, you know, be a quick strike offense on occasion. And for him to experience that and for his players to experience that, I think it's going to be good for them moving forward because some teams like to play between the tackles, and St. Pius is not. They like to get outside, get to the boundaries, go deep down the middle of the field. They have the ability to pass the football. They got some quick receivers, quick running back, and Dustin Birch. So speed certainly plays, and it's hard to shut down a lot of speed for, you know, a full 48 minutes. I think we just saw evidence of St. Pius' speed finally getting to the Warriors' defense.
But as the third quarter transitioned into the fourth, Valley got their swagger back with a Carter Roth dash to the end zone.
Second and goal from the 5. Roth takes it himself. Roth looking for the end zone. He is in there. A touchdown. Carter Roth comes in at quarterback. Run play after run play. And Roth into the end zone to put Valley back up 2 scores.
That would make it by a score of 38-20. St. Pius, they made one last effort late in the fourth as they scored another touchdown to cut the lead to 8, but an onside kick from the Lancers proved to be unsuccessful. St. Pius ran out of time, and Valley Catholic captured the 34-26 victory. Valley Catholic head coach Judd Nagger thought his team executed well in the first half.
Oh, you know, we executed, you know, really well. We executed the game plan. That was probably as clean as first half as we played.
St. Pius head coach Jerry Woods liked the way his team's effort showed in the second half.
Yeah, you know, we got ourselves in a little bit of a bind that second quarter. You know, we came in at halftime and talked about, hey, first two quarters are gone, right? Play the third quarter and the fourth quarter like you played the first quarter and we'll be okay.
Valley Catholic, they go to 7-2 with the win. St. Pius, they fall to the same record of 7-2. Tough loss for St. Pius when you consider that they made it that close in the second half. But for Valley Catholic, a good showing by them, showing their composure and holding off that St. Pius rally, not really flinching.
And that tends to be what Valley Catholic does. And, you know, St. Pius obviously rattled their cage a little bit. And like I said, there are some teams that need a good fight in the last game of the regular season to propel them through the playoffs. And we're witnessing a couple of these games that we broadcast where that happened, where you had Festus Troy Buchanan and Valley Catholic went up against St. Pius, who clearly didn't feel overmatched and felt like, even despite they were being down by as much as they were, to be able to make that second half comeback was something that I'm sure Coach Woods and the players believe that they have the capability of doing against any team. So, like I said, some teams are looking for something a little bit different in the last week of the regular season heading into the playoffs, and I think we just saw two schools in Festus and St. Pius that were just trying to find out if they could compete against the best, and we saw that they can.
Once again, final score 34-26. Valley Catholic takes the victory over St. Pius in week 9 of the regular season. We'll take a break, and when we return, we'll break down the KREI game. Farmington topping their cross-county rival Central 30-14. That's coming up after this on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington.
Hi, this is Stephanie from CZ Boyer & Son Funeral Home, coming to you today to talk to our veterans about Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery. Burial in a national cemetery is open to all members of the armed forces who have met a minimum active duty service requirement and were discharged under conditions other than dishonorable. A veteran's spouse, widow or widower, minor dependent children, and under certain conditions, unmarried adult children with disabilities may also be eligible for burial. In recent news, we learned that the cemetery has purchased additional grounds to ensure that our veterans have the ability to have a final resting place near home. Any additional information concerning burial at a national cemetery, please feel free to contact us at CZ Boyer & Son Funeral Homes at one of our 5 locations throughout St. Francis County.
Midwest Bank Center has the perfect way to help your money grow, and the process is simple and easy. Right now, you can take advantage of some great CD specials at Midwest Bank Center. For a very limited time, you can earn 3% annual percentage yield on our 24-month CD and 2.50% annual percentage yield on our 18-month CD. Hurry into one of our 19 area locations or give us a call at 314-631-5500 and start earning as much as 3% APY today. Lock in your great rate now before this offer ends. Annual percentage yield APY effective 8/28/18. Minimum deposit of $5,000. Must be funds not previously deposited with Midwest Bank Center. Consumer and business accounts are eligible. Other restrictions may apply. Penalty for early withdrawal. Rate subject to change without notice. See a Midwest banker for details. Start growing your money today at Midwest Bank Center. Member FDIC.
Here on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington. Farmington, they top Central 30-14 in the latest edition of a St. Francis County rivalry. Chad, what was kind of the vibe in the community like going into this game? You know, you've been living in Farmington for a couple of years now. You got a daughter that still goes to Farmington High School as well. What was kind of the environment like heading into this game?
It was fun. You know, I think everyone's excited about the matchup and when the two teams play. And just to give you an example, I'm going to fast forward after the game. you didn't see your normal handshake line, you know, or you bump fists or tap hands, and then you're just out to your locker rooms. You had players hanging around talking to each other. There were actually some players from both teams taking pictures with one another. I mean, you have cousins playing against each other. So, you know, Coach Schweiss says he thought it was a win-win even before they played this time. And when it works out, I think that both coaches and really both communities really enjoy the series.
And like Coach Schweiss said when we had him on a few weeks ago, he likes to end the regular season with a tough matchup. And Farmington's been getting better and better as the years have gone by. So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe that becomes a little bit of a tradition, ending the year with a home-and-home every 2 years with Farmington.
They always like to. I think that, you know, that would be probably a nice spot for the series, but I don't think they'll, you know, I don't think they'll just limit it. I think they'll try to work it in wherever they can in order to make sure the matchup happens.
So the latest edition of that rivalry ended with Farmington beating Central 30-14. The Rebels defense, they stopped the Knights offense on the opening drive, but after recovering a muff punt, Farmington took to the air.
And the motion man is Wyatt Westbrook here. Files is back to pass. He's looking deep. He's got a man wide open in Nicholson, who catches it in the end zone for a touchdown. Farmington gets it back on the muffed punt, and they strike right away. A 31-yard touchdown pass. Files put it right on the mitts of Sam Nicholson in the end zone.
We're starting to see Caden Files kind of come into his own as the season's gone on. It seems like he's getting more and more comfortable being the starting quarterback.
It's gotten a lot better. You know, I mean, he completed one pass in that game. That was it. If you're going to complete one pass, that's a good one to complete. But where I notice his progression more than anything is in the option. He's running the option now. I mean, it doesn't even compare to when, you know, he had to take over. I mean, he's a sophomore, and he wasn't the starter. He was a guy that was starting on defense, but, you know, he wasn't going to get necessarily first-team reps early in the year, and you're talking about an option system where it's all based on timing, and you have to know each other's speed, and he's really gotten a lot better at running that option.
Central responded on the next drive with the line opening up holes for Gage Mannion and Will Hopkins.
Corcoran under center. He's got Mannion and Hopkins behind him. Give to Hopkins, and Hopkins sails right through the middle. 7:09 here in this first half of play, and Central gets into the end zone for the first time. A 7-6 lead for the Knights, but Central could tie it up with the extra point.
Chad, you were saying after the game that this is a game that Farmington, they're going to feel it on that Monday.
For sure. It was a great physical battle, and you know, you saw it on that drive with the Central line kind of taking over. And it's, I really enjoyed watching Mannion and Hopkins in the same backfield, because you've got Hopkins kind of a battering ram, you know, a good speed, but he's going to go at you. And then you've got Mannion, who's like this Formula One car, you know, just darting in and out of traffic, reading blocks and cutting. And I enjoy kind of watching that duality of two different kinds of running back there.
What's interesting about that combination is, you know, you mentioned what both are good at, but the other one is good at the other thing too. Will Hopkins, as you said, he does have some speed too, so he can outrun you if he needs to. And Gage Mannion is a small player, but he gets his pads real low, so you got to be very low if you want to try and take him down. So it's not like they're both one-trick ponies. Yep. They can both do what the other one is also good at. So now we head back to the game. Both teams are going on long clock-eating drives. The first quarter combined only three full possessions. Farmington, there, Royce Harris, got things moving, though, in the second.
And the give is to Harris. Royce gives it off tackle. Left side. Picks up a block. Royce to the 10. Comes back. Shoves his man away to the 5. Gets to the end zone. Royce Harris. It was bound to happen sooner or later. And it gets in from 25 yards out. Royce doing it again. Harris, man, he's just been so fun to watch. And you know, a lot of it's based on speed, but as you heard the call right there, he used the speed to get to the outside, but Central did a nice job taking an angle at him, and they had a defender at about the 5-yard line, and Harris had the ball in his left hand. He used his right hand and just went to the side of the shoulder pad and just shoved the guy out of the way and ran the rest of the way on the cutback.
You know, what's amazing about Royce Harris in this game, too, is Central has a lot of team speed. So it's not like there's just one guy that you got to be careful of. I mean, they've got Jake Casey. They've got Jeremy Jones, who's an all-state hurdler. Jake Casey, I believe he's also part of the 4x1 team for the Central Rebels in track and field. Will Hopkins, just great all-around athlete as well. I mean, they've got some serious speed all over that field. And, you know, he outran all of them, but not just in that play, but a little bit later on in the play as well. Farmington, they eventually led 23-6, thanks in part to a number of Central miscues.
Cale Krause boots this one away. Oh. This one's muffed, and Farmington hops on top. Dawson Day, the punt returner, tried to grab it on the bounce. touched it, lost it, and Farmington gets it back. Bridges 1-for-3 for field goals this year, but this one's blocked. Farmington busted three guys through the line and blocked it. Once again, Casey's the motion man, but the snap is over the head of Corcoran. He chases it down in the end zone. It continues to roll around. Mannion grabs it in the end zone, and he's tackled by Tyler Barber. Safety on the play. Cochran's back to pass. He throws it over the middle. And it's incomplete to Braden Scherfus. Scherfus had it hit him in the hands with nobody within 15 yards of him. A sure touchdown that they just couldn't make. It'll be a pitch play. This is Mannion. Mannion with room to run. Breaks a tackle to the 10. Stumbles Bumbles. To the 5. He did put it on the ground. Farmington is indicating they have it, so Central may have covered it up and then lost it. The officials unpiling it. It's Farmington football.
Wow.
You know, Sean, I kind of felt bad putting that together because it does dwell on mistakes, but really it told the story of the game because this was a game that Central actually outgained Farmington by 3 yards, 299 to 296, and they had chances, but a lot of what happened was really their own undoing on things like that. Now, in saying that, when another team makes a mistake, you have to have one team capitalize on that in order to win the game. And to Farmington's credit, they capitalized when Central gave them an opportunity.
And you feel bad putting that together, but you know those are the plays that they focused on in film anyway the next time they got together. Coach Weiss, you know, isn't going to let something like that fly, especially with the playoffs coming up.
Yeah, and you know, Coach was very candid after the game, too. In fact, it was interesting because both of our post-game interviews that we had on End Zone, Coach Krupe said, you know, sometimes a game can be decided within 5 plays. And then I went to talk to Coach Weiss, and he said almost verbatim, he said, you take away 5 plays, it's a different outcome. Now, he said, you can't do that because that's what it's based upon. But they both said just about exactly the same thing, and that's what they were talking about.
That's it. If you can take away 5 plays from your side that hurt your side, the other side gets to take 5 plays away. And this next one might be one of them, as with Central causing their own problems, the Rebels, they hung around with Jake Casey giving them a chance in the fourth.
Get it on the reverse, kind of that jet sweep from the slot position.
And there he goes.
And here he goes. Jake to the 40, to the 30, to the 20. He's gone. Touchdown. Jake Casey. He gets in from 65 yards out and changes things immediately. Well, Jake was he was an absolute jet. I mean, he doesn't touch the ball a lot from them, but when he does, it's usually a big play.
That's it. He's a great safety for them because of that speed that he has. Very rarely this season is Central allowed a long touchdown. Usually one of the DBs can catch up to whoever's outrunning the rest of the defense, take him down to prevent that score. And you know, it happened a couple times in Perryville where they get a nice play, but they keep Perryville off the board because the defense would get a stop as opposed to allowing a long touchdown and hold from there.
Until
they ran into Farmington, and Royce Harris, who's just got too much speed, as he put the game out of reach.
Option play left side. The give is to Harris. It's a pitch behind him. Harris reverses field, and he's only got one man to beat. He's to the 30, to the 20, to the 10. Touchdown, Royce Harris. He cuts it back on what was an option play, maybe gone wrong. But when Royce gets it, it all goes right. A 60-yard touchdown run. It was a really interesting play, Sean, because Farmington runs an option to the left side. Central actually does a superb job of defending it. Their flow, obviously, if Farmington's running to its left, the defense is running to its right as they face each other. The defensive flow was right there, and they covered up basically every avenue the option was going to run through. But it so happened that Files' pitch was short. Harris had to stop and take one step backward. So all the pursuit was still out to his left, and there were his linemen now that almost set up a wall for the cutback unintentionally. It's all speed after that as Royce was gone. And you know, we talked to Coach Weiss after the game, and he said, we did everything right, and Royce just made a play.
Yeah, not much you can do there. So the fiery feet of Royce Harris ices the game, and Farmington enjoys its best regular season at 6-3 since the 2011 season. And as the 2 seed, they'll host 7-seeded Hillsborough to start the Class 4 District 1 state playoffs on Friday. Hillsborough beat the Knights during the regular season. Chad, that's the tough break of
so
the way
weird,
these things fall. Like, Farmington loses to Hillsborough. That's one of their 3 losses this year. The only loss that didn't come at the hands of a ranked opponent for their class. And now that's the team they got to play in the opening round of the playoffs.
Yeah, they lost to, in fact, Class 5 ranked Jackson who was ranked they lost to class 2 ranked Lutheran North, yeah. Which is, you know, I mean, that they're just a juggernaut. And then, yeah, then you have the Hillsboro game, which, you know, you play a good enough season, you play well enough to earn yourself the 2 seed, and your reward is playing a 7 seed that beat you during the regular season.
It shows you just how tough that district's been mm-hmm. this season, that Farmington didn't capture the 1 seed with only one loss in the district, the other two coming at ranked opponents, one a class above as well. And then you have Hillsboro, who's all the way down at the 7 seed.
Well, and they really have our guests tonight to thank for it, because Perryville was in that district for years, but they dropped down to class 3 this year, and so they actually had to go way out of the way, and West Plains gets put in. Well, it just so happens West Plains has a fantastic team this year.
4-5 Central, they also got the 2 seed in Class 3 District 1 because they beat St. Genevieve in the head-to-head and get to jump them. They'll host Fredericktown on our Coles Tractor and Equipment Web TV game. Farmington Hillsboro, you can catch on AM 800 KREI. Chad, final thoughts?
Well, just to add on what you're saying there, so Central jumps St. Genevieve, right? Because that's the way it works when you're right underneath somebody. But St. Gen has a 7-2 record. And Central has a 4-5 record. So, yeah, they get to leap them, but the record disparity is pretty great right there. So Farmington goes into it against Hillsboro. And I talked with both coaches today. And Farmington obviously feels good about the way they ended the season. Hillsboro does not feel very good about the way they ended the season. But Hillsboro, you have to think they have to come in with a little confidence, because they say, no matter what we've done all year long, we know we can beat this team.
And
if you're Farmington, you're probably itching to play Hillsboro again.
You're itching, or you know Coach Groupie's going to try and prevent them from having the opposite mentality of, oh, man, we got to face Hillsboro now. This is what we get.
Yeah,
you don't want to look down on it and think, oh, man, this is a bad thing.
Well, even on my postgame interview with Ethan Burke, he was very respectful of all opponents, including Hillsboro, but he said, and this is before they knew absolutely positively what the matchup would be, Ethan Burke said, we want another shot at Hillsboro. So, yeah, they're fired up about it.
They're going to get that shot Friday night on AM 800 KREI. It's the Coles Tractor Equipment Football Roundtable on a J98. KJF's Friday night game. We'll break that down when we return. Papa Bluff stopping Hillsboro 30-14. You're listening to the Coles Tractor Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on a J98.
Do you struggle navigating your smartphone or tablet? Farmington Presbyterian Manor is here to help. Join us for a senior cyber cafe on October 23rd at 2 p.m. We'll cover helpful topics like sending emails, sharing photos, and downloading apps. It's time to turn the tables on your children and grandchildren. Space is limited, so get your seat today by calling 573-756-6768. Presbyterian Manor, where you live the way you want to live.
Hopkins Floor Company in Festus is your one-stop shop for all your flooring and cabinet home improvement product needs. For the entire month of October, Hopkins has Breeze Fit flooring at the lowest price guaranteed. Breeze Fit is a revolutionary new waterproof flooring that looks like wood and holds up like ceramic, and it is a breeze to install yourself. Come in today and see the real wood look of Breeze Fit flooring. That's Hopkins Floor Company, Highway 67 south of Festus, or check out hopkinsfloorco.com.
Here's the latest listing of jobs from across the area. StarTech in Farmington is adding more full-time customer service positions, including a complete benefits package. Proper Produce is now hiring local and over-the-road drivers. Shue & Sons Plumbing and Heating and AC LLC in St. Genevieve is looking for an experienced plumber and experienced HVAC service technician. Mississippi Lime Company in St. Genevieve is seeking an experienced driver for their MLDS driving division, mostly local runs and home most nights. Custom Machine Works located in Fenton is seeking a CNC machinist, fabricators, and entry-level employees to join their team full of part-time positions. Scenic Nursing and Rehabilitation in Herculaneum is looking for CNA, CMTs, and LPNs and RNs. East Missouri Action Agency in Park Hills is seeking a full-time receptionist and a community resource development specialist. The Crystal City Police Department is accepting applications for a part-time police dispatcher. Riverview at the Park in St. Genevieve hiring RNs, LPNs, and CNAs all shifts. Farmington Presbyterian Manor hosting a job fair November 1st. For details on all these jobs, go to MyMoInfo.com and click on the Job Bank tab.
Matt Greenwood back with the Coles Tractor and Equipment Roundtable Show on J98. We're here at Buffalo Wild Wings in the very comfortable and cool Farmington, Missouri. And Chandler's hustling those drinks out, too. Look at that guy go.
I know, yeah.
In the blink of an eye.
You blink and you miss him.
He should be a wide receiver.
Oh, man. Isn't it great when you can make fun of yourself? Thanks for bringing that up, Andy. Anyway, Buffalo Wild Wings. This is you buy a size and you get that same size for free.
For boneless wings. Yeah, any size. You buy one and you get another one free.
Exactly. So we'll move on past that and into this Hillsboro Poplar Bluff rematch. What's wrong?
Nothing.
The Poplar Bluff Mules, as you might know by now, beat Hillsboro 30-14, spoiling Hillsboro's senior night on KJF is where we had the game for you. The game started out favoring Hillsboro. Running back Tyler Sizemore making some plays when he got the ball, including this first score of the game on Hillsboro's very first drive. Under center, Eckrich takes a handoff and then gives it to Tyler Sizemore, who gets past one defender, 20 to the 10. No one will be near him as he crosses the goal line for six. 25-yard touchdown run, Tyler Sizemore. And there's Cowbell Lady right there. I've never got her name, but she was pumped up all night long.
Matt, a lot of times, you know, you're going to attack with your running game, you know, either straight up the gut or off tackle, but when I saw Sizemore, a lot of times he's getting it when he's moving full speed laterally, you know, coming from that wingback position. And then, man, when he finds that hole, if they have that blocked up on the outside, he's hard to catch.
Yeah, he's pretty elusive as well. I mean, he's pretty elusive because he's not big, so he has the quick feet. So he can get past, you know, just about any defender if he makes the right move. So, yeah, I like Tyler Sizemore, and I think he is easily the most athletic tailback that the Hillsboro Hawks have. He got the first touchdown of the night. Dylan Dace ran it in to convert the two-point conversion, and that gave Hillsboro an 8-0 lead with under 8 minutes to play in the first. Hillsboro defense makes a stand, forcing Poplar Bluff to punt the ball back to the Hillsboro Hawks, and then again, Tyler Sizemore with another 6 points. There's the pitch, and that's Sizemore up the middle. Stiff arm, shoots the gap to the 10, to the 5, and another touchdown for Tyler Sizemore. From 33 yards out. And that was one of those plays, Chad, where we got to see his elusiveness. He sidestepped a guy. Like, he sucked in his gut and ran and got right past him.
He didn't have much of a gut, though.
No, he doesn't have much of a gut. No, he probably sucked that in. It didn't take him very long to do that. But yeah, it was one of those sidestep moves where you just kind of move the front part of your body out of the way, and the defender couldn't make a play on him, and that's when he got to the last 10 or 12 yards. Open space, it was an easy score for him.
Hillsboro's feeling great too, right? I mean, you're up two scores. I mean, who knows? It was there couldn't have been any indication that Poplar Bluff was going to score the next 30 points in this thing.
No, I certainly was stunned by the fact that Poplar Bluff got the next 30, and I think a lot of the Hillsboro fans were too. And that's here's the thing. We talk about turnovers and how they can change a ball game, and that's kind of where Hillsboro kind of lost their confidence a little bit, I believe, and when they turned the ball over, they were still winning 14-7. We'll get to that play in a second, but turnovers for this Hillsboro Hawks team does them in quite quickly, I feel, and that's unfortunate for them. But you know, so Sizemore gets the score, and they fail the 2-point conversion, so it's 14-0. We're a little bit more than halfway through the first quarter. Cowbell Lady still ringing the cowbell. The next score in the game, though, came towards the tail end of the opening quarter. This time benefiting Poplar Bluff. End over end kick down the middle of the field. Will bounce at the 32. Roll at the 30. Picked up by Townsend on the second baby hop. Gets past three defenders. Past the 40. 45 midfield to the Hawks. 40, 30, 20. And Townsend disappears from the Hawks as he's into the end zone just like that. You blink and you miss him. Yeah, that was an amazing return. As soon as he picked it up, as you heard right there, three guys right around him, and they just completely whiffed. I don't even know if they thought he was going to pick up the football and were just sort of standing there seeing if maybe they might down it, but he scooped it right up, got right past them, and that was all she wrote for Poplar Bluff. So
he's our most explosive athlete, Matt. He's probably the guy that you say, you know, if you can get him in open field, he's the guy that probably could make something happen for him.
And that's what the Hillsboro defense did so well the first couple of drives facing Poplar Bluff, is they kept him and Isaiah Johnson away from getting to the boundaries and getting to that open space downfield. But when, you know, as the game went along, those gaps started opening up, and certainly Shamyron Townsend getting into open field was obviously dangerous for the Hillsboro defense. So 14-7 at this point, shortly after a middle of the second quarter fumble by Hillsboro's John Bennett. Shamiron Townsend was back at it, this time while on offense.
Play number 7 of the drive coming up. Shotgun for Cannon Carr. Hands it off to the right side. Townsend nearly slipped in the backfield. Able to get to the edge. 10-5 and crosses the goal line for the score. Townsend gets a touchdown. And that is number 10 of the year. And the Mules are an extra point away from tying this ball game up at 14 apiece.
So, I mean, you give Townsend 65, 70 yards of field to work with, or you give him 10 to 15 yards, and he'll find that little gap, that little crease, and score touchdowns for Poplar Bluff. And so 14-14 at this point. The next points of the game, though, came during a Hawks punt around their own 5-yard line. The snap was high, went out of the back of the end zone, so safety for the Mules. About a minute and a half to go before the end of the first half. So 16-14 at that point, and I think quite a few fans were stunned, and especially me, just because the first three drives seemed like it was projecting towards the Hillsborough defense being able to play a little bit better and the offense being able to move the football down the field a lot easier. So during the third quarter, the Mules, they added a touchdown, went up 23-14. Then Townsend got himself a defensive touchdown, picking off an Ethan Eckrich pass.
First play from scrimmage. Eckrich fakes left, rolls right, tosses it towards the 40, and it's intercepted by Townsend at the 43. Townsend up the Mule sideline inside Hawks territory, 35, 30, 20, 10. Cuts past the defender, crosses the goal line.
All right, so I emphasized offense and defense, and we talked about the punt return earlier because that guy, Shamiron Townsend, scored the only three ways you can when it comes to talking about, you know, a total thing. So he had an offensive touchdown, a defensive touchdown, a special teams touchdown. I've never seen that before in a football game, so I thought that was pretty cool. He didn't have a kickoff return for a touchdown, but that also falls into the category of special teams. So I'm with you, Chad. This Townsend guy, I mean, I was at a loss for words really to describe just how elite he was in that game once he got going a little bit.
Well, he's not a guy that you just set in the backfield and they hand it off to. You know, you got to find seams for him. You got to find open space for him. But if you can get him there, he can really make things happen. They probably felt like there were 4 or 5 Shamiron Townsends on the field that night, I would think.
Yeah, certainly. And there were a couple of times he would start in the slot and he'd come into the backfield when the ball was snapped and they just handed it off to him. And that's how he did his work. And the thing about it is Townsend never played a single offensive snap in the second half. They used Isaiah Johnson to run the football, Poplar Bluff did. And so he was well-rested when it came to getting that defensive touchdown. His legs were underneath him. And so I thought that was an interesting move by the head coach there to kind of, you know, make that call by pulling him off the running game. But, hey, it worked out for him, obviously. After that defensive touchdown, nothing else happened. Finished 30-14. So as you heard before, the loss putting the Hawks at 4-5. And they're going to play Farmington in the first round of districts. Poplar Bluff improves to 4-5 as well, but obviously we're not tracking those guys. So Hillsborough Farmington rematch.
Yep, there it is. Hillsborough kind of limping in. Farmington feels good coming in, but Hillsborough owns the regular season victory. So they've had some really nice games. In fact, over the past few years, Farmington has lost twice. They've won one time, and so they've really kind of been regular foes in the postseason, and then of course Hillsborough gets them during the regular season this year. I think it's a nice series. I'd like to see them play during the regular season some more too. It's been a good matchup for both teams.
Even with Hillsborough, like you said, they're kind of limping in a little bit, not been playing so hot. It's a Hillsborough Hawks team led by Coach Lee Freeman. Even if Farmington took the regular season game, you can't count them out in this game, or no matter who you are, you can't count out the Hillsborough Hawks.
Well, I agree. You know, in week two, Sean, Hillsborough came in and Lee Freeman did not feel good about his team. You know, they were limping into that game as well, and all they did is come up with their best game of the year. So, for sure, they have the ability to bounce back.
You got to be careful against those Hillsborough Hawks. Coming up next on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable, we will cover the J98 game where DeSoto, they top Potosi 7-3. We also want to let you know on the AM side of the dial, Central, well, they top to Windsor 2-0. They will move on to the championship game, take on No. 1 Festus. That's on AM 800 KREI and AM 1400 KJF in Class 3, District 2 High School Volleyball. On the backside of this break, the J98 game, DeSoto 7, Potosi 3. We'll break it down when we return on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable.
There are lots of things to love about the 2018 Toyota RAV4. Just ask the people who bought one. but be prepared to get an earful. They might mention its versatile build and flexible cargo space. They'll probably rave about its available heated front seats, sport-tuned suspension, and all-wheel drive with dynamic torque control. But the one thing they absolutely won't stop talking about comes standard, the RAV4 suite of advanced safety features, which includes a pre-collision system with pedestrian detection and lane departure alert with steering assist. It's a brilliant bit of technology that helps you respond to changing road conditions. It helps keep you safe without sacrificing performance, and it doesn't cost anything extra. You love it already, don't you? Tested, trusted, Toyota. Toyota, let's go places.
Lane departure alert and pre-collision systems are not a substitute for safe and attentive driving practices.
See Twin City Toyota, I-55 at the Herculaneum Auto Mall exit. Don't think twice. Think Twin City.
Missouri Highlands Healthcare. Healthcare you can feel good about. Hi, I'm Alex Hathcoe of Missouri Highlands. Did you know Missouri Highlands Healthcare locations offer flu vaccines? Find a clinic near you in Ellington, Annapolis, Pilot Knob, Viburnum, Power Bluff, and more. We accept most insurances along with Medicaid and Medicare. Don't have insurance? Just ask your local clinic about our sliding fee scale. Protect yourself this flu season by getting your vaccine today with Missouri Highlands Healthcare. Visit mohi.org to find a clinic near you.
For over 20 years now, Dale Mosier at Dale Mosier Auto Body in Park Hills has ran his business with a simple philosophy. Consider it done right. Dale's grandpa always taught him, if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing the right way. And if somebody says it's going to be impossible, well, that just means it's going to take a little longer. There's no job too big or too small for Dale Mosier and his crew at Dale Mosier Auto Body in Park Hills. Give them a call today, 431-1105. And as the song says,
Dale Mosier Auto Body. Consider it done right.
Cole's Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable on a J98 The Boots. And Andy, I apologize one final time. I jinxed you going into this game since you've had defensive games all year. I said it was going to be a low-scoring defensive game, and you had just that in this one.
Don't care. No. I like him. I like it was 10 combined points. I love it.
It was a highlight-filled defensive game, though, because there were a lot of turnovers that were forced. It wasn't one team drives and then punts it away. The other team drives, punts it away. And before you know it, you're at halftime. Before you know it, it's a one-score game total between both teams in the fourth quarter. A lot happened in this game.
So many turnovers, and there were a lot of chances for both teams to get more points on the scoreboard because they were doing it literally at the one-yard line or the two-yard line. It was that close to being punched in. A lot of chances on both sides. Give credit to both defenses. They both stood out in their own way in this game. DeSoto just a little bit more execution on offense to get the win.
A defensive struggle on the gridiron ended with the DeSoto Dragons earning a 7-3 win over the Potosi Trojans on Friday night on J98. The Dragons had an early possession in the red zone, but Potosi's defense took the ball away in the last moment.
Taking the snap, Fisher airs it out towards Snudden, complete to the 10. He has space, 5-yard line, taking tacklers with him, and he's taken down. Is it a touchdown? No, he's just a little short, and the ball came out, and Potosi recovered it. The Trojans turn it over after the completion to Snudden. He lets go of the football, and the Trojans fall on it right at the 1-yard line.
Potosi then took the ball 97 yards on 23 total plays at the DeSoto 2-yard line. The Trojans had a chance to punch it in, but the Dragons stood tall.
Second down and goal from the 2. They quickly get to the line. Coleman takes the snap. He is sacked, and the ball is now loose. It's picked up by the Dragons. They have it at their own 20-yard line, and blowing up the play that time for the Dragons was Dominic DeMarco. With the sack fumble, and he stops the Potosi drive short. I'm going to read it again, Sean. 23-play drive that went 97 yards.
For nothing.
And no points.
No points.
It was something. It took up a lot of the clock. Potosi, a week before, had a 19-play drive that went for a touchdown. They were able to punch that one in. This time, though, it looked like they were going to get there. They had second and goal at the 1-yard line. What a play from Dominic DeMarco, who has been the centerpiece of that defense all season long for DeSoto, and he deserves to get a lot of credit for this win.
That is the ultimate bend but don't break defensive drive right there. You allow 97 yards, you allow 23 total plays. You don't allow a single point, though. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
It was an incredible defensive performance on both sides, just because of the way that both teams, and there weren't too many punts in this game. There weren't that many chances or three and outs that drive stalled out like that. No, there were moments that the defense made a play on both sides.
Shortly afterwards, the Dragons fumbled once again, giving the Trojans good field position and a scoring chance.
From about 35 yards out, Zach Haynes lines it up. The holder is Isaac Gagan, as Potosi tries to be the first on the scoreboard tonight with 5.5 minutes to go in the first half. There's the snap, a good one. The kick is up, a line drive, and it is good. Haynes hits it from 35 yards out. Potosi 3, DeSoto nothing.
And that would be the score heading into the locker room, as those 3 points were the only ones in the first half. Potosi on top, 3-0. Andy, at this point, what was kind of the vibe going into the locker room with Potosi going on that 97-yard, 23-play drive, coming up with nothing, but they still do walk away with the lead, courtesy of another turnover?
Yeah, they walked away with the lead. It was off of another turnover from Briar Fisher. He was trying to throw a pass to the left side. It slipped out of his hands, went behind him. Potosi there to fall on top of the football right away, and they get it in the DeSoto half of the field. I think DeSoto had a chance to drive down the field one more time to get points before half, but DeSoto's defense stood tall, or Potosi's did, and then Potosi got the ball back and decided to just take that 3-0 lead into half. Both defenses, again, they showed out, but you're right. Potosi, in that moment, it looked like, you know, they were going to take advantage of that opportunity at least, and you just didn't know how many more chances both teams were going to have to score the football, so those 3 points were huge.
Both teams, they exchanged possessions for the third quarter, then midway through the fourth, DeSoto finally capitalized on a long offensive drive with an 11-yard touchdown pass.
Fourth down and 6. Claps his hands, takes the snap. Looking to throw a slant pattern over the middle, and it's caught, and he's in for the touchdown. Cameron Croninger took it away from Damon Guthrie, who was in coverage, and then he lunges into the end zone for the touchdown.
Finally, someone got a touchdown in this game, Andy.
It was a really nice pass from Briar Fisher, but even better concentration from Cameron Croninger, because he had a man draped over him, had to take it away from those shooting hands that were right behind him. And it just takes a couple of guys that know each other so well from running those routes, going day in and day out in practice, knowing where the other guy's going to be. And Cameron Croninger with really good hands on that play. And then the presence of mind, because he was just about 2 yards outside of the goal line when he caught the football, had to make sure he lunged into the end zone. Also a really good play.
Smart hands from Croninger too, knowing to keep it away from the defensive back, Damon Guthrie. A lot of people won't even consider that when they make the catch, just try to pull it into their body, which in some cases can pull it within the range of the defensive back's arms and hands to knock the ball away. So that extra point following that touchdown made it 7-3 favoring the Dragons. Potosi had one final chance to drive down the field for a game-winning score, but DeSoto's Clayton Snudden made his second big defensive play to seal the win.
Coleman calling for the snap and takes the snap. He's back to throw, rolling left side. Looking downfield, wants Zach Haynes at the 10-yard line. A jump ball and another interception. This is Clayton Snudden. One of them was taken away from him on the pass interference, but this one will count. He has his second pick of the ball game, and with 1:12 to play, DeSoto will take over with a 7-3 lead.
Clayton Snudden had a really good defensive game, a couple of interceptions. In fact, he had one that was called back due to a penalty, correct?
Yeah, he could have had 3 were it not for that pass interference call, so he had 2 officially. He also caught the ball 7 times for 127 yards, and one of them a big play for DeSoto when they were backed up near their own end zone. They decide to pass and give it to Clayton Snudden on a quick slant to the left side, and he broke a tackle after making the catch and ran 77 yards to the other end of the field to really give DeSoto some good momentum at that point. But you're right, Clayton Snudden, another senior, showing out on his senior night with 2 interceptions, and they both came after the touchdown. Potosi had a chance with about 5 minutes left to drive downfield and get a score through an interception. Clayton Snudden was there. DeSoto gave the football back to Potosi, and then the Trojans actually looked to have a little bit of a rhythm going. They got to midfield, and then Andrew Coleman tried to go deep downfield to to Zach Haynes, but Clayton Snudden was there again. A really nice job by him to keep honed in the passing game, because DeSoto, you're probably expecting Potosi to run a lot more. Potosi only ran two passes last week. This week they did it 10 times and really tried to catch that DeSoto defense off guard, but guys like Clayton Snudden and Dominic DeMarco, they weren't fooled on this one, and DeSoto's defense did a really nice job to keep no touchdowns on the board for Potosi.
Dragons head coach Chris Johnson said this win showed how much his team has grown over the course of the season.
I think in the past our kids didn't really have that mental toughness to just stay in it, and I think our kids now have that. I do. I mean, I think they've been in enough of these dogfights to know that if you just keep playing and you just keep hammering and you just believe that something good is going to happen, that at some point it does. And for us, we've been lucky to get a couple of these very ugly wins. But, hey, that's the one thing I can say. I'll take an ugly win over a pretty loss any day of the week.
And Trojans head coach Ed Haar said mental mistakes led to their undoing.
We're running the ball well, and then we get a holding call that would push us back, or we would put the ball on the ground, that would push us back, or we would line up wrong, that would push us back. So again, some self-inflicting wounds that killed us tonight.
Dragons finished the regular season at 5-4, and will visit Festus in the district tournament next week. Trojans move to 4-5 overall, and will start the playoffs against Perryville, in a game that we'll be covering for you on J98. In fact, we're joined a little bit by offensive and defensive line coach of the Perryville Pirates, Wayne Sheets, as well as running back, defensive end James Roden, and quarterback Drew Hotop. That'll be coming up in a little bit, but one more final thought from this game, Andy?
Well, again, a hard-fought victory, and last year it went to two overtimes. DeSoto got a game-winning kick in the second overtime to win it. This time they do it in regulation. Really nice job by the Dragons to fight back to a 5-4 record in the regular season, and they're trying to take that next step to become a program that people actually, fear. I mean, they're wanting to take that next step and get into that upper tier. Potosi's trying to do the same thing. You're kind of seeing both of these programs moving in the right direction. Unfortunately for Potosi, it was what Coach Hart talked about, just a few too many mental mistakes. Like, sometimes they would put the ball on the ground, right at the 1 yard line. They did it in that game last weekend. So it's going to be a tough matchup coming into this 4-5 against Perryville, a team that got the best of them in another very close contest earlier in the regular season. This time it'll be in Perryville. Very interested to see how these two teams adjust to each other. And then DeSoto trying to get another win against a really top team in Festus next week, and I'm sure that they're playing with a much more inspired effort over this last second half of the year.
DeSoto goes to Festus. You can catch that one on AM 1400K, Jeff. Potosi, they go to Perryville, and that game will be on J98, the Boots. Perryville, they came here for us. It's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable. We'll sit down with a couple of them on the backside of this break. You're listening to the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on J98.
Coles Tractor and Equipment continues to be the leader of compact tractor sales for St. Francis and surrounding counties. How, you ask? It's simple. By selling the best quality for the best price with the proven best warranty on the market. Hi, it's Hannah with LS, the major brand maker of two other brands. Brands that you already know and love. At Coles Tractor and Equipment, you get that same franchise quality with the best 6-year parts and labor warranty and more standard features than I can name in this 60-second ad. This month, get the 35-horsepower 4-wheel drive diesel tractor with loader and skid steer front bucket for only $16,999. That's right, get the 35-horsepower compact diesel tractor with loader for only $16,999. Give us a call today, 573-756-4353, or stop by Coles Tractor and Equipment, 1 mile east of Farmington on Highway 32. Coles Tractor and Equipment. Don't just follow the herd, lead the herd.
The Jefferson County YMCA Veterans Program is committed to providing a welcoming and positive environment for veterans of any branch of the U.S. Armed Forces. The Veterans Program has assisted veterans with job placement, grants to help pay bills, food drives, transportation assistance, distribution of donated household items, and temporary housing assistance for homeless vets. The Jefferson County Y also offers VA counseling sessions on the first Tuesday of every month. For more information, call Ted Lures at 636-931-9622.
When it's all said and done, what really matters
For Serenity Hospice Care patient Jack, hospice isn't about giving up. It's not about the end. It's about right now. It's about spending precious time with the people we love.
Come on, Grandpa!
And the little moments that create lasting memories. It's focusing on what's important to you and remembering life is beautiful in all stages.
Colts Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on J98. We're now joined by Wayne Sheets, offensive and defensive line coach of the Maryville Pirates, as well as two of his players, James Roden and Drew Hotop, joining us. So, guys, thanks for taking the time. We certainly appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
So, Coach Boss, a bit of a hike for him to get out here. So we're glad that we did get some Perryville representation. We usually don't get much on this show just because of how far of a trip it is. So we do definitely thank you guys a lot for coming out. Coach Sheets, the first thing I want to ask you is, you got James Roden here. I described him in the Central game that I covered, at 6'4", 260 pounds. He's legitimately that size. How is he not on the offensive line for you guys?
Well, there were some discussions about that amongst the coaching staff, for sure. But James goes full-time for us on defense, rarely comes off the field. And then we felt like we could use a hammer in the offensive backfield. So he lines up at fullback for us and blocks and runs. We feel like that James has risen to that challenge that's probably the best option for us.
Yeah, by hammer, you don't mean just like a regular hammer. You mean like a Mjolnir, like Thor's hammer or something like that.
Yeah.
Now, James, I got to ask you, that is every lineman's dream. You got the lineman size, certainly, but everyone I've ever met that's played lineman, I remember when I played, all the linemen would always ask to play wide receiver or play running back, and now you're one of the few that's gotten that opportunity to move from the line to the backfield, and I'm sure you're enjoying it.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely an enjoyment, especially, you know, like you said, I am the size, ideal size of a lineman, but definitely running the ball or just taking a block and blowing somebody up is definitely enjoyable.
What is the look in the linebacker's eyes? Like, do you ever get a glimpse when you're powering down on them and it's just one-on-one, you and them?
Actually, last game against Sumner, I was, it was a dive left, and their big guy, number nine, we were running the ball, and, you know, he just took the glimpse, and I definitely laid the wood. So it's definitely a good experience.
I imagine when you get, you know, some steam rolling behind you and get going, you'll see a couple guys will kind of just make business decisions. They'll kind of dive a little low on you, and
exactly.
You just got to step over them.
Yeah.
And then you got some player next to you that's about half your size, and Drew Hotop, your quarterback. So, Drew, you got a good offensive line, plenty of size still on the line without James Roden there, but I'm sure you're happy on drop back pass plays that you got a player like him protecting you in the backfield as well.
Oh, definitely, man. They blocked so well. They really helped me out this year. They've really done all they could, and it's really helped me out, helped me play to the best of my ability this year.
Coach Boss, in his second season now as head coach, and has brought the option attack now to Perryville. This is your first year running it, though, at the varsity level, correct?
Yes, sir.
It's a system that's really timing-based, especially in spacing-based, too, you know, being in the flow with the other slot. You guys kind of do it with slot receivers, though, not traditional running backs
right.
That are lined up like an H-back spot. But have you been getting more and more comfortable with that as the year has gone on, then?
Yeah, I think working on practice and games, a lot of chemistry is formed, and I think we're really getting it down. I'm kind of ready and anxious to see. We've been doing really good in practice this week, I think, so far. I'm anxious to see what happens during Potosi.
And then, Coach, I kind of talked about it just before. The offensive line certainly still has some good size without James Roden there. And you've got a trio of triplets on the offensive line as well. How much of a blessing did that feel when you saw those guys coming up and you're like, oh, my God, I don't have just one. I got three of them this size.
Yeah, the Ernst brothers, interestingly enough, Aaron, Brad, and Chris, A, B, and C.
I didn't even. Is that the order they were born into?
I believe so.
Yes, sir.
Is it?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So we have A, B, and C. Ernst, they're all, of course, being triplets, they're all about the same size. All are playing on the offensive line and some on the defensive line, too, for us. Yeah, you have to feel a little bit blessed that you don't just get one, you get three. So
they're identical triplets as well, correct?
It took me until this year to tell them apart.
That was going
to
be my next question, if you could tell them apart.
I think these guys that grew up with them are a little bit better at it. So.
All right, so since you two grew up with them, how do you tell the difference between the three of them, A, B, and C, Ernst?
Well, it used to be hard, and now you just kind of realize by their personality, and they've all changed look pretty
especially, well. Especially on the football field, practice field, you know, you just look at the cleats, you know. You know Aaron has the white, Chris has the green, you know. It's easy when you see them in the way they play also, and position-wise, you know, you see them with, you know, you practice with this position, you know they're there and stuff like that. So it's definitely, that helps.
I hope they're listening now, because now they can really mess with you guys. Yeah. If they just swap out the cleats, you're going to be going underneath the guard. Is Aaron the guard or is he the left tackle?
Aaron's a left tackle.
Aaron's a left tackle. One of them is a guard, though, right next to the center, right?
Chris
is the guard. So you're gonna wind. Yeah. They're gonna switch cleats, and you're gonna go under center Drew under the wrong quarterback, under the wrong lineman. But besides those three, again, still just more good size against the front on both offense and defense.
Right. Well, we've got Ian Curry is a big boy on defense. Tony Konarczyk is the biggest guy on the field every week. I was talking to one of the other guys a while ago, and overall, we're a little bit smaller than normal. I think if you compared this team to last year's team, we're a little bit smaller. We got individuals like James and Tony that are huge, and everybody else, we kind of get back to normal size, so it's been a little bit of an adjustment for us having. You know, being used to having a lot of size.
And last year was a big graduating class from the senior class as well, correct? I think you lost all but one starter on defense, too.
Well, we had two. Two guys from last year's team that had significant playing time last year. James is one of them, and Caleb Grimaud plays middle linebacker for us is one of them. And also, Caleb also plays fullback. He and James rotate. On offense, so those two are you know, the guys that had significant experience for us last year.
And how has that transition been then with the new defense coming in? Because you guys have had a tough defense all season long once again.
Right. We Coach Boss brought in our defensive system. We're a 3-4, and we've run that now for 2 years, and we're getting settled into it pretty good, I think.
And now what about you guys? Yeah, I'll start with you, James, since you do play on the defense. You got some time last year on the defense. A lot of those guys left, and now it's you and Caleb Grimaud that have to step up as the returners from defense last year. Do you kind of feel like you have to take on a bigger leadership role, especially on the defensive side of the ball, because of that turnover?
Yeah, definitely. It helped, though, with Caleb returning also, since I'm not totally the only one. And I had position changed myself. I was outside linebacker last year, and then I changed to, you know, D tackle in our formation, and it definitely changed. But I think both of us being there, we definitely took on the leadership role, and it filled in, and all the guys were up for the challenge for sure when they stepped on the field, and they'd done nothing but successful.
So you went from linebacker in a 3-4 scheme, because you guys ran that 3-4 last year as well?
Yes.
Yeah, so 3-4 linebacker, then up to a defensive end spot in a 3-4 defense. Did you put on a lot of mass during the offseason then?
Last year, I was probably a little like 5 pounds, 6 pounds lighter, and I definitely hit the weightlifting seriously after season hit, and definitely got adapted to the, you know, DN in the three front, and definitely enjoying it, and it does help our team out a lot.
And
so.
Then, Drew, there was a number of turnover on the offense as well. How has that gone for the offense in the season so far?
I think we're making improvements. Every week we work on it and we get our handoffs down, and I think we're doing pretty well now.
And now you guys, Coach Sheets, are going in to face the Potosi Trojans on Friday night, a team that both of them are really known, you and the Trojans, for your defense. And you played to that with a game earlier this year that was a 10-8 final score.
Right. We played the Friday night that most of the games in the area were postponed. For somehow we were over at Potosi, and somehow we got that. There was enough cushion in the weather that we got that game in. We actually had a delay at halftime, maybe 45 minutes or something, but we still got that game in. And it was a defensive battle, back and forth, a very physical game. All of the teams in our conference are very physical, so We're expecting in the game this Friday night, we're expecting that to continue to be, you know, a very physical game up front and test of wills. I mean, Potosi comes right at you. There's not many secrets there. You know, the good thing for us is we know we can meet the challenge, having met it already, and we have to continue to do that. So. To be successful this week.
Now, that game was week three of the regular season when you two faced each other. How much of that tape are you watching compared to other game tape of the Potosi Trojans? Are you watching a good amount of it just because that was the game you played against them, or are you watching a little bit less than maybe some other games just because it was so long ago?
Well, that's a great point, because it's an interesting situation having played before, because we can see our current personnel against their current personnel, and same for them, they can see that as well. So the previous game for us is instructive. You know, we can look for more of the individual matchups there, and then the more recent games that they've played, we can look for scheme differences or wrinkles that they've put in since that time. Both we're watching all of it right now.
I'll turn to the players now. James, I'll start with you. What are some things from that game that you're definitely going to remember going into the rematch against the Potosi Trojans?
Definitely the odd front. Odd front was a big thing. They put it in at the last, started using it very, very heavily at the end of the game, which, you know, it was driving, but our defense stayed strong, had many stops in the, you know, goal line, and they definitely stood up to the challenge. But I expect that to come back, and I expect that to be another challenge for us, but I think we'll meet it very easily.
And Drew, with the option, you're orchestrating the offense. What are some things that you saw from the Potosi defense?
Definitely making sure we know that where the read keys are, and we're making sure that they're maybe in a three, maybe in a four. We're definitely going to work on both, and we should be ready.
And I know you guys have suffered a number of injuries since that week three game as well, so you're going to have some personnel in there that maybe didn't play as much in that week three contest.
Sure. You know, I think anytime you get to this point in the season, you're probably not playing with who you started with. So, we're next man up team. We have had some injuries. We have some key injuries, but we've got this last week we made it through the game without any of those, so we've had everybody's gotten some experience and some time in our system that'll play Friday night.
Now you guys are going to be hosting the Potosi Trojans as well, so they have to make that trip now down to Perryville as opposed to you going up to Potosi. Do you think that plays to your advantage at all?
Because
you guys do play on a grass field, and most schools out here in the listening area really don't.
Right. We our grass field, it could become an issue if we get, if the field gets soggy. I guess that could be an issue. I think teams at this point they're used to traveling. This week for all of us, it's kind of like a rebirth week. Because we've been through the grind of the 5 months of football season, starting back in May, and we've grinded it out, right, guys?
Yeah.
We've grinded it out, and here we are in districts, and it's kind of like things are new, okay? So the attitude around our practices this week so far has been, hey, things are new, we're excited. You know, we got a chance we've got some opportunities ahead of us, and so, you know, it's kind of the magic, I guess, of district week in high school football. So I don't expect the bus ride to affect Potosi, or I wouldn't expect it to affect us if we went up there this time too. So.
You mentioned the week of practice. Coach Boss, before that Central game when I was talking to him, talked about how he wanted to increase physicality in practice heading into that game against Central. Is that something that you guys have stuck with since then? And have you seen something from your team in response to that physicality?
Yeah, I mean, we can ask these guys in just a second. But, yeah, we've stayed physical in practice. We haven't backed off. In fact, we've probably stepped on the gas a little bit as far as that goes. And I think these guys will tell you that practice, you know, is different now than it was first 5 weeks of the season.
Drew, I imagine you're wearing a non-contact jersey throughout practice, being the quarterback. I remember always when they would get into the backfield, even on scout team, if they got into the scout team backfield, they're always yelling, "Don't touch the quarterback."
Yeah. Off limits, man. You can't touch me.
So you don't have to worry about the physicality of practice, but James, you certainly do, playing on the defensive line, especially against that O-line we were talking about. That, you know, even without you on the line, they still got some size.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a challenge for me because it definitely helps me get better in my position alone, and then it helps the guy across from me get better. And the physicality of it went up tremendously. And we're definitely just pounding the ball, because basically we're preparing for Potosi. That's what they do. That's what we're going to have to expect. That's what we're going to have to go through. So, you know, you play like you practice. So, and we're definitely taking that into account this week.
It's two real tough defenses that are going to be facing off against each other. Is that, do you kind of feel good about that just because you're facing another team that's similar to you, that they rely on their defense and not a team that likes to shoot it out?
Well, you know, I'm not a spring chicken, so I love this kind of football. Yeah, we look forward to this kind of challenge. It can do nothing for us, but help us in the long run.
Now, Coach Boss. He asked me when he said you were coming on to not throw you any tough questions. I did tease him and say that I'm going to ask some pre-World War I trivia for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got one for you. What year did the Spanish Inquisition start?
He's a science teacher.
1460-something.
You're a little close. Let's see if you two know now. James, what have you got?
I cannot tell you.
What about you, Drew?
Man, I'm going to throw a guess out. I'm going to go 1455.
Not closer, but in the wrong direction. 1478. No one expects the Spanish Inquisition, though. So I had to throw that out there for you, just to tease. We certainly thank you guys for coming on. Coach, if you wouldn't mind hanging on a little bit longer while we break down the games that are coming up next week. And we'll have you guys back on for a little NFL pick'em later on to defend your picks. So that is it for Wayne Sheets, offensive and defensive line coach of the Perryville Pirates, and James Roden, running back, defensive end, as well as quarterback Drew Hotop. Coach Sheets will hang tight with us. James and Drew will rejoin us later on. It's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable on J98.
From faxing to notarizing, the UPS Store is every ing for your small business. And when it comes to protecting your confidential information...
Shh! Quiet! You should know about the shredding services available at the UPS Store. They're just what you need for protecting, securing, and disposing of proprietary documents.
Oh, so I can do less worrying.
The UPS Store. Every ing for small business. And of course, shipping.
Hi, this is Jim, owner of the UPS Store in Festus in the Gannon Plaza. Come see us for all your printing, shipping, and packaging needs.
Investing in a degree or certificate from Mineral Area College can pay you dividends. It's why we've been serving the surrounding community since 1922. Studies consistently show people who get an education after high school still earn a lot more in their lifetime. Show yourself you care. Invest in your education. Check MAC out at mineralarea.edu or call us at 573-431-4593, because MAC is your next step.
If you have water or fire damage in your home or business, call Bryant Restoration at 986-3260. Hi, I'm Reggie Aubuchon, owner of Bryant Restoration. At Bryant Restoration, we strive to provide an efficient, transparent experience to help take the stress out of your situation. Bryant Restoration is IICRC certified, and we work with all insurance companies. Locally owned and operated, we have locations in St. Francis County and Poplar Bluff, covering all of Southeast Missouri. We'd like to wish all local high school athletes good luck this season. Bryant Restoration, online at bryantrestorationco.com.
Make your backyard a paradise for your whole family. You can do it with a swimming pool. Hi, I'm Angie DeClue with Home Pools and Spas. We can make your vacation destination right outside your back door. Above ground or in ground, you have a choice of selections. Install now for years of great times.
Everybody's going home, pool, and spa.
To see pools and pricing, go to our website, homepoolsandspas.net. Again, I'm Angie DeClue, owner of Home Pools and Spas, inviting you to stop by. We're located just south of the Ludington exit.
Going for it on fourth down, 13 yards to go for the first snap. It's going to be a handoff on an end around. Now a reverse coming to the near side, getting the edges. Jaden Rystrom, Rystrom all the way into the end zone for the score. Fourth down and 15 from the 33-yard line, getting all of it and then some. Well, it only took the entire regular season, but I finally got one.
I was going to say, get rid of the tear face that you typed in there.
Next to my big zero that was entering this week. Now the scoreboard now sits. Matt's still in the lead with 3. Chad and Andy have 2 apiece. And Nick and I now have 1 apiece. I did put that little sad face in, the little sad face emoji, before Corey Johnson, who works late nights, picked that for us. So now we'll be shifting to more of a midday shift, though. We do want to also hand out some more hardware to Kendall Runsey of Jefferson Volleyball. She's the Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy Play It Forward Athlete of the Week, and you can catch a story about that online at MIMOinfo.com, Matt.
Yeah, she is a stud, if I must say so myself. Saw one match against Festus, and Coach Beely, the Festus head coach, was almost at a loss for words at the type of player Kendall Runsey is, and the same way for Coach Tara Fish. But Jefferson St. Pius tomorrow in the Class 2 District 3 semifinals, one of our 2 semifinals. That is going to be one you do not want to miss.
And Runsey also is one of those players nominated every week as well, and rightfully so. And
yep.
One of those that garnered consideration every week, finally breaking through with this one.
Yeah, and she deserves just about everything coming her way. She's earned it. She fights for it. Coach Fish loves her and thinks that she's certainly going to go places if she decides to continue her volleyball career at the next level, which she's not decided there yet. But, yeah, well-earned Athlete of the Week there.
So the district quarterfinal round is a week 10 of the high school football season in the state of Missouri. And on Web TV, it is Fredericktown at Central. This is kind of the game for Central that got them back on track for their season as well. Fredericktown has been playing a little bit better of late over their last 2 games. So this is a game that's kind of up in the air a little bit, Chad.
Coach Schweiss told me that it was probably their most complete game. He said he didn't know if they'd gotten a complete game all year, but he said if there was one, this was probably it. And they'd like to, of course, duplicate that and then copy and paste for the next round if they can.
Coach Sheets, it'll be Potosi at Perryville on a J98. We were just talking about that one a little in depth. One final time, what are going to be some keys to this game, taking on the Potosi Trojans at home?
I think the biggest key is who can win up front. Tosi's big, physical, and we have to be able to match that.
Meanwhile, on AM 1400, KJF DeSoto is at Festus, a rematch from a game earlier this year. Festus has been playing some good football of late in their loss. Unfortunately, they did play a tough game, and DeSoto's been playing some solid football as well. They are 3 weeks removed from upsetting Hillsborough and just a week removed from topping the Potosi Trojans.
Yeah, you know what? DeSoto's defense is nothing you want to really mess with. They've got some playmakers on the D-line in the secondary as well. So you got Clayton Sun in the secondary, Wyatt Moser, Dalton Melton on the D-line. Middle linebacker Dominic DeMarco leads the team in tackles with 105 this year. The DeSoto defense clearly, you know, showed a little bit of dominance in that win over Potosi. And if they can get that kind of defensive performance carrying into the Festus game, you know, Festus might struggle a little bit offensively. And for the Tigers, they may have found their best rhythm offensively of this year against that Troy Buchanan team. I would argue that maybe their win against North County was pretty solid as well when they beat them 42-20 on opening night of that new stadium. But, you know, two teams that played exceptionally well going into the playoffs.
And that's a rematch from a game earlier this year. Matt, I'm not sure if you recall. I'm just trying to see something here. Do you know what week that was where they played against each other? Do you happen to know that off the top of your head?
DeSoto and Festus?
Yes.
I believe that was week 6.
Week 6, okay. Because all the other matches are week 3 rematches. Fredericktown Central was week 3. Potosi Perryville week 3. And the KREI one, Hillsborough at Farmington, also a week 3 rematch, Chad.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. I think this one's about stops. The first time they met, the offenses were dominant, and special teams. And when I say stops, that does include special teams, because for Farmington, their defense didn't contain very well. And Hillsborough, Hillsborough did get some yards up the middle, they got a lot of their work done by getting to the outside. So Farmington has to make that adjustment. And for Hillsborough, it's about containment on big plays, too, because you've got Royce Harris that not only scored on the offensive side of the ball, but also Harris had a 99-yard kickoff return for touchdown. So, you know, I mean, that, like, nullifies your score. You kick it away, and all of a sudden it's like you didn't even score because Harris brings it right back. So I think it's about stops. Whoever makes more stops and comes up with some big defensive plays, to me, is going to win this game.
I do have to give credit to Coach Sheets, though, because he's the one that brought up that Potosi-Perryville game was the week where all the other games throughout the listening area got rained out. That's what made it click for me that all these games are week three matchups. You were one of the few games that got in, though, so that must have been nice knowing that you didn't have to figure out when you were going to go back and play them again, be it Saturday if the weather holds up, be it Sunday and do a Sunday game, maybe Monday and play in a short week. So that must have felt really good to get that game in.
Yeah, well, 2 years ago when we went to Potosi, it was another night like that, and the game did get canceled, and we had to come back to Potosi on Saturday. We had to go home, come back on Saturday. So, and that's, you know, that was our longest trip that year. We had to make it twice in 2 days. So that did, you know, who knows if that had an effect on us or not, but it's really tough on the kids in that situation to get ready to go somewhere, go play, and then have the game get called and have to come back the next day and play again. So I know a lot of the games got moved to Monday. I don't know if any of them got played on Saturday, did they? I can't remember.
Farmington Hills Road did, but that's something I didn't think about, right. Wayne, is the fact that, that is a little harder on the visiting team, and Farmington did have to make that trip twice in 2 days.
I think, did they actually make the trip, though, or did they call that one before they traveled?
No, they went up there.
Okay.
In fact, they were about 10 minutes from kickoff doing warm-ups. They called everybody into the gym.
Yeah,
they sat around for 2 hours. said, let's try it tomorrow. I'm
reliving that right now in my head from a couple of years ago. So, yeah, that's a bad you don't want to be in that situation if you can avoid it. So,
yeah, certainly. And then you got Sykeston at North County, Malden at Jefferson, Chaffee visits Valley Catholic, Brentwood will host St. Vincent, Dexter is at St. Genevieve, Crystal City takes on Hayti on the road, Northwest is at Lindbergh, Ledoux will host Windsor, Herculaneum visits Principia, Grandview, they take a trip to Lutheran North, and St. Bias will host Kelly. It's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable on J98. We'd like to thank Coach Wayne Sheets for joining us, offensive and defensive line coach of the Perryville Pirates. When we return, we will recap and preview Mizzou's previous and upcoming game, and we'll also do a little NFL pick'em as well. Top three changing a little bit, so we'll let you know about that when we return. It's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable on J98.
Our summer is ending, and on comes the Friday night lights. Yes, it's that time of year again for high school football. Hi, this is John Cozine, and for four generations spanning more than 100 years, our funeral home family has supported the Farmington Knights. And for most of the past 20 years, I've been photographing the Knights for the benefit of the players and their fans. You can see these photos online by going to our website at Cozine Memorial Chapel and highlighting the Community News tab. Or go directly to the Farmington Missourian on the internet. Either way, you can see the Knights as they play another exciting season.
Make it a great family night at Applebee's Bar and Grill in Farmington. Hi, my name is Amy Cousins, general manager of your local store. Maybe start out with a couple of appetizers, boneless wings, onion rings, mozzarella sticks, spinach artichoke dip, chicken quesadilla. There's so much to choose from. Let the kids pick from the kids' menu, then for yourself, choose one of our favorites. Steaks, ribs, seafood, pasta, we have it all. Go to Applebee's.com for the full menu and look for our happy hour prices. Doing good in the neighborhood, Applebee's Bar and Grill in Farmington.
Have you ever been to dinner with a friend and realized you don't have cash to split the check? Or do you need to pay the soccer coach for that new uniform? Hi, Paul Hale from New Era Bank, and our new app has just what you need. Our app features person-to-person payments. This allows you to pay from your cell phone directly to someone else's. They receive a text from you and get the money real-time, even if you don't bank with us. Check out our website at www.newerabank.com for more information or call one of our locations. Member FDIC.
Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on J98. Before we get to a little NFL pick'em, we'll talk a little Missouri Tiger football. They halted a three-game losing streak by defeating the Memphis Tigers 65-27 on their homecoming weekend in a game heard on AM 800 KREI and AM 1400 KJF. Mizzou quickly built a 21-0 lead in the first quarter, and then Memphis scored 17 unanswered points to cut that lead to 4. Mizzou then responded with a long pass to tight end Albert Okwuegbunam. Did I say that right, Andy?
We're very close. Very close enough. Okay. Go ahead. Keep going.
The route was on after that. Drew Locke completed 23 of 29 passes for a 350 and 4 scores. Mizzou head coach Barry Odom said the offensive line stood out in the win.
They had a really good week of practice. Overall, they provided running lanes, blocked well at the point of attack, and then gave Drew time to go through the progression that he needed to make a throw. So those guys are a group that I enjoy watching work. They enjoy playing football. They enjoy working together. And, I think their best ball is still ahead of them.
Locke said the fast start on both sides of the ball set them up well.
The way that we came out and started that first drive and scored real quick, just kind of the feel I had of their defense and what we were doing, it was like, all right, I think we're going to be able to score a good amount of points. If the defense starts shutting them down, we're going to be able to score a lot. And the way they came out and played in that first quarter really set us off well.
Mizzou improves to 4-3 overall next week. They will host 13th-ranked Kentucky Wildcats on Saturday at 3 o'clock. Pre-game coverage starts at 1 o'clock on AM 1400 KJF and directly after the Mineral Area College volleyball match on AM 800 KREI. Andy, a strong win on homecoming for Mizzou, but now they got to face another ranked opponent, this time with Kentucky Wildcats. Not often are they ranked.
Well, it's because of their defense. It's been one of the best defenses out there, and Mizzou's going to have a tough test there. But they do match up pretty well, and Mizzou actually a 6.5-point favorite, if you can believe that. And, you know, Mizzou has a lot of momentum coming from this win. It's a good win against the Memphis team. It was a really strong running attack that the Memphis Tigers brought into Columbia, and Mizzou pretty much neutralized that for the most part. Yeah, there were 33 points on the board, but Mizzou's offense was able to take over with some key plays there. And, you know, with Kentucky coming to Columbia, that will play a big factor. I think Mizzou will get a big home crowd there to rally behind their group, and it could be a very close game. I'm not sure which way it's going to go, but I think very close.
Could be a big game for Mizzou if they want to move up the bowl games that they could potentially be playing in at the end of the season as well if they can tack on a victory over the Kentucky Wildcats. Now we turn to some NFL pick'em. I mentioned the top three changed it a little bit. Nick jumped me. Chad still in first, 63.5%. Nick now up to 61.3%. I'm down to 59.81%. The players, 58.67% after the St. Genevieve Dragons went 11 of 14 last week, the best out of anyone. The coaches, they're at 57.94%. Matt, you're up to 53.27%.
Yes.
Andy fell below 500. The coin, it wasn't working for you, and it should have been an omen, because you went 4 of 14, unfortunately.
I think you got to stop with the coin.
That's why we're changing the coin this week. A different coin. This is a quarter. This is from the state of Missouri. This is going to be good luck here.
Let's hope. Well,
that's why you were cheering about
it
quietly.
Now we've got on Twitter, which you can follow us at MimoInfoSports, 8 out of 14 with the Twitter poll as well. You guys sitting below 500 as well in last place at 48.59%. And we're rejoined by James Roden and Drew Hotop of the Perryville Pirates as well. So, you know, I was telling you guys before, you got some high standards to follow up with the St. Genevieve Dragons getting 11 out of 14 right. Pretty impressive week for them.
Yeah, definitely. That's crazy. That's they definitely know how to pick them that week, and they definitely had a good pick. Good luck, I guess, or just skill, one or the other.
But you're going to beat them, right? You're going to beat them.
Yeah, definitely. We got this.
So here we go. Now week 8 of the season starts off Thursday night. Miami taking on Houston. The Houston Texans have been looking really good over those last few games. 0-3 start to the season. They've ran off 4 in a row, including knocking off the Jacksonville Jaguars a week ago. So I've got Houston at home. Chad's got Houston at home. Matt?
You know, it's been a lot of the defense and enough of the offense. That's why the Texans keep winning. As soon as that offense comes around, watch out, NFL, right? Nick's got Houston. Of course I've got Houston. I mean, Miami's terrible. So.
Yeah.
Andy?
Houston, a very good team.
Just put the coin away for this Texans game and just take the Texans.
Not a chance. Here we go.
Caught it this time.
Miami.
All right. Okay. Obviously, all right. The coin is all in favor of Brocktober as Brock Osweiler getting the start.
Absolutely.
The Miami Dolphins announced earlier this week. James, Drew, which way are you guys going in this one?
We definitely win Miami. Like you said, if Houston's offense shows up, is the big
Well, where's Miami's offense?
Brock Osweiler wants to get back against his former team. He wants some revenge
It is the Brock Osweiler revenge game for, you know, the Houston Texans that paid him millions of dollars to then just trade him away to Cleveland so he could be.
It is a Thursday game, so you never know what's going to happen.
Anything can happen on Thursday Night Football. Yep. Now we turn to the Sunday games. We got another early game. It's going to be starting at 8:30 locally as it's taking place over in England. It is Philadelphia taking on at Jacksonville. Chad's got Jacksonville. I've got Jacksonville. I'm not confident in the Jacksonville offense with Blake Bortles having another bad week a week ago. I'm more confident in Jacksonville doing this trip to England every single week or every single year for a week.
Right.
They know what to expect in a trip like this. So give me Jacksonville. Give Chad Jacksonville. Matt, who you got?
You said all that, Sean. All of that. All of that.
All of it.
And I'm still going Philly, and so is Nick.
All right.
Wow.
So I mean, it's hard to pick against the Super Bowl champs, too.
Well, yeah. But it's not that. It's just they're both offensively out of rhythm. Defensively, they're still pretty good teams. It's whose offense shows up, and who knows? I mean, it's not 8:30 in the morning, you know, over there. I mean, over here, it's 8:30 over there. So who knows what morning will do in London.
No,
here.
It's 8:30. It's 8:30 here, not 8:30 over there. It's normal time.
Oh, I guess that's true.
There.
It's afternoon time. It's like 2 o'clock.
So change your pick.
I did have it right the first time.
Coach Sheets with Philadelphia. And George Washington with Philadelphia.
Philadelphia
as well. Might I say Andy's 2 for 2 on the coin flip catches.
Andy was dropping them all last week. That should have been an omen that it was going to be a bad week. Drew, James, which way are you guys going with Philly, Jacksonville, and England?
We're definitely with Philadelphia. The Cowboys actually drove the ball in Jacksonville, so I think Philadelphia's going to take this one.
All right, so Philadelphia in England. Now we've got the Jets taking on the Chicago Bears. Chad's got Chicago. I've got Chicago. I had them as a big upset over New England, so obviously I'm going to take them over to the New York Jets. Which way are you going, Matt?
I like Chicago's pizza more than New York, so I'm going Bears.
It's not pizza, first of all. It is a casserole. Don't call it pizza.
You just triggered him.
Oh, I know. It was on purpose. Nick's got Chicago, too. I guess he likes their pizza also.
Yeah. Coach Sheets, you pulled a Chad, and you didn't put a pick for the Jets and Chicago.
Chad
there,
took
so you got
three losses there we go. Last week because he forgot to fill them out. I will say I forgot to remind him when I got back on Wednesday and saw him to fill them
Chad.
Out. Chad. He said he would take the loss on those three.
Who did
That's
Chad pick on
nine.
This game here, Sean? Jets or Bears?
Chad went with the Bears in this one.
Okay, so he's going against
he's
Chad.
Go against
he's
Chad.
Cheating.
Okay,
he's right, cheating. You're supposed to be against cheating, Coach.
We'll see what the coin does here.
Chad's in
all right,
first
that's
place.
The first drop
I'll
of the
say this.
Night.
Chad's in first place.
Go.
That's the last person
that's
you want to
second drop
against.
Of the night.
Second
We're going to keep going here. That's not a good flip. We're just going to keep playing this. Go ahead and pick your game there.
We definitely have Chicago.
We'll get things going here. All right, we've got Chicago over here, too. Very good.
I think next week we're going to have to do one of two things. We're going to have Andy pre-flip his coin at some point at the station, or we're going to have to go digital so you can't drop it.
That's not good radio, Sean. This is a lot more entertaining.
You know what? I bet there is one, Sean. I bet there is.
Oh, there is a coin flip app. I've had it before.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, no.
Use that one, please.
We're going to go digital next
week. Save us 20 minutes a show.
We're not cavemen anymore flipping an old coin, and it's not pizza. It's a casserole. Tampa Bay, they're visiting Cincinnati. Chad has Tampa Bay. I've got the Bengals since Andy Dalton won't be playing in primetime. Matt, which way are you going?
Cincy for me, Cincy for Nick, because Cincy's just better.
Yeah, Cincy for Coach Sheets. And I'm going the other way. I'm going with Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. All right. James, Drew, which way are you guys going?
We're with Tampa Bay, too.
Tampa Bay there as well. Seattle, they are visiting the Detroit Lions. Chad's got Detroit at home. I've got Seattle on the road. Matt?
Honestly, this is a tough one because Detroit kind of surprised me putting up, 30-plus on Miami on the road. So I'll take the home team here. Nick doesn't like Detroit, I don't think. So he's going
Both
Seahawks.
These teams coming out buys, is that what it is?
Seattle is. Detroit is not, which is why
Detroit
I took
just,
Seattle. Okay, Otherwise, I'd be going Detroit.
Seattle here for Coach Sheets. See if the coin cares about bye weeks at all. Well, yeah, Seattle.
Players, Drew, James?
Definitely going. We're going to go Detroit. It was a hard choice, but Detroit home field, hopefully that helps them out, you know, and drives the ball with the atmosphere they're going to be in.
This next one is pretty
the closed atmosphere.
Yeah, true. Exactly. Fan section, we should say.
There you go.
This next one, Denver is going to be visiting Kansas City as Patrick Mahomes looks to keep rolling along. A great season for him so far. So Chad has his Kansas City Chiefs. I've got my quarterback that I took in waivers over Chad in Patrick Mahomes. So I've got the Chiefs as well.
I think this might be one of those picks, Sean, where you say, did anyone choose the Broncos than the coin?
Did you guys wind up going with the Broncos?
Nope.
Kansas City. Let's see which way the coin goes.
I might be kind of disappointed if the coin goes with Denver here, but they are. Let's go. Denver Broncos.
I think we're looking at another like four correct picks for Andy so far.
Yeah, five road teams already.
Oh, that's usually not good in the NFL. Now we've got the Washington Redskins on the road taking on the New York Giants. This probably could be one that we can go around for. Is anyone picking the New York Giants?
Well, I do want to say this. I like D.C.'s clam chowder more than I like New York's pizza, so I'm going Redskins.
Okay.
Very good.
Now, that just proved that you have no idea Giants what you're talking
here.
About.
Nick's got the Giants.
Nick does have the Giants. I'm going to have to question him on that. Maybe he read the tweet wrong earlier today. The Giants traded Eli Apple, not Eli Manning. Are you guys going with the Redskins or the Giants?
Giants.
Really?
I think Barkley, I definitely have a good game.
There you go.
I'm a Giants fan, so I hope he has a good game. I'm going to be naming my son Saquon. He is unreal, but the rest of the offense is just so inept around
him.
Or
if it's a daughter, Saquana.
Pittsburgh, they are hosting the Cleveland Browns. This was the week one tie in the NFL season. Chad's got Pittsburgh. I've got Pittsburgh. Doesn't look like Le'Veon Bell's playing. Matt, which way are you going?
You'd think I'd go with my weekly tie on this Pittsburgh game, but I just don't think they're going to do it again. If they do and they tie, I mean, what are the odds, right? I'll take the Steelers, and Nick will take the Steelers as well.
Wow.
Andy, coaching the coin. Which way are they going?
Okay. Pittsburgh for Coach Sheets. Coin says Pittsburgh as well.
Pittsburgh for the coin. Even the coin knows not to pick the Cleveland Browns on the road.
Well, I mean.
Now, players, James, Drew, which way are you guys going?
Pittsburgh
as well. Now we've got Baltimore at Carolina. This one could be interesting. I've got the Carolina Panthers. So does Chad. Matt, which way are you leaning in this one?
Minus a Justin Tucker missed extra point. Baltimore had the potential of beating a New Orleans team that I think is outstanding. So I'll take Baltimore on the road. I think Carolina got lucky with Philadelphia's offense just being atrocious in that second half. And let's see here. Nick's got the Panthers. There we go.
Andy?
Yeah. Coach Sheets has the Panthers, too. And the coin is going the other way, Baltimore.
James, Drew?
Panthers.
Panthers for you guys as well. Now we turn to Indianapolis at Oakland. No Amari Cooper for the Oakland Raiders. He's been traded to the Dallas Cowboys. Even if he was there, I still wouldn't be picking them. Give me the Colts. Right. Give Chad the Colts.
Yeah, they are bad. Nick and I have got the Colts as well.
Yeah, Colts here. You guys going with Colts?
We're with Colts.
Let's see if the coin does it for Oakland. That's a drop.
That was a good flip, too.
Yeah, it was a good flip. It wasn't that. Not a lot of altitude on that one, though. That's not a good one there. There we go. And we've lost the coin. All right.
James, Drew, which way are you guys going on this one?
Definitely going with the Colts.
He's going with the Colts as well. And Andy,
we'll catch up. All right. We'll keep going.
Make this pick naturally. We'll catch back up with Andy as it's one roll way away. The LA Rams, they are hosting the Green Bay Packers. Chad and I have the Rams. Matt, are you going with your heart or does your head say something else?
Well, what's the line? Mama didn't raise no fool. Yeah, mama didn't raise no fool. I'm going Rams.
You're going with the Rams.
And so is Nick. Yeah, the Packers, they don't have L.A. Rams all the way.
Andy, after about 26 tries, has finally caught the coin.
All right,
so let's catch up.
Here we go. Rams for Coach Sheets. By the way, Colts for the coin on the last one there over Oakland. A good pick for the coin that time. And another good pick this time, the Rams.
L.A. Rams. Even they're smart enough to the coin is certainly no fool. James, Drew, which way are you guys going?
We got the Rams.
Yeah, I was going with the Rams that time.
Now, I always like asking the players and coaches when they come on here for this, are you former Rams fans? Are you still kind of pulling for them? Where's your heart at right now?
Actually, I'm actually a Green Bay fan, but
Bay fan as well. Yeah.
I like it, James.
Definitely seeing the LA Rams going to be at home and defense is tearing up. You know, it's almost like, come on, you got to give it to them. You know.
Yeah.
And Drew, what about you?
I'm all Cowboys, man. I actually made an impulse buy on my fantasy team. I traded for Amari Cooper. I might overpay, but it'll be all right.
What, you, so you pulled a Jerry Jones and overpaid for Amari Cooper?
No doubt.
What'd you give up for Amari then?
Demaryius Thomas and Latavius Murray. We'll see how it goes.
All right, that's a fair
it's
trade.
All right.
That's a fair trade. It's a handcuff running back and a wide receiver that's been hit and miss this year as well.
I'll definitely throw to him a lot more, so it'll be all right.
Certainly a good buy low candidate in Amari Cooper. Now we've got the San Francisco 49ers visiting the Arizona Cardinals. Chad's got San Francisco on the road. I've got Arizona at home. Matt, which way are you leaning?
Arizona at home for me. San Francisco on the road for Nick.
Arizona does have extended rest for this game, playing Thursday last week.
San Francisco for Coach Sheets. Coin going with San Francisco.
And San Francisco for Andy as well. And James Drew, which way are you guys going?
San Francisco. Yeah, 49ers for sure.
San Francisco.
You're welcome, Coach Boss.
Yeah.
Which pick, have we gotten to it yet, was the toughest for you guys?
Definitely the Seattle and Detroit one.
The Seattle and Detroit was the one you guys were split on the most, because I thought this one could be the toughest. It certainly had me split. New Orleans visiting Minnesota, the rematch of last year's NFC playoff game that ended with a miracle in Minnesota. Chad's got the Minnesota Vikings. I've got the New Orleans Saints in this one. They've been playing some great football of late. Matt?
It had me split as well, Sean. And you know what happens when things get split. They tie.
You flip coins.
You flip coins, yeah. They tie. So, you know what? I think Minnesota has enough of a good defense to slow down New Orleans. I think their offense is good enough to keep up with Adam Thielen, the number one guy there, maybe the best receiver in football. So, New Orleans on the road, though, it's tough to win on the road twice in a row. And so I think I'll go with the tie here. And then Nick's got Minnesota.
If you're a fan of individual matchups, Marshawn Lattimore against Adam Thielen is going to be fun to watch.
Minnesota for Coach Sheets. Coin says Minnesota.
Minnesota for the coin. And now, James Drew, which way are you guys going with this one?
Minnesota,
definitely, no doubt. Now we wrap things up with Monday Night Football, and I think we can wrap this one up by going. All right, Andy, start flipping the coin.
Yeah, here we go. All right, here we go.
Anyone picking against the Buffalo or against the New England Patriots as they visit the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, no.
Head shakes all the way around. Let's see what the coin says.
The coin is not doing that either.
Even the coin knows better than to pick Buffalo, take it on New England. So that wraps up the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable. James Roden, Drew Hotop, we thank you guys for joining us, as well as our offensive and defensive line coach of the Berryville Pirates, Coach Wayne Sheets. We certainly appreciate you guys making the trip, and we'll see you guys on Friday night on J98. Well, that wraps things up for us here. Matt has one final thing that he wants to add.
Yeah, Festus Central and Volleyball Class 3 District 2 Championship game. Yes, both Festus and Central advancing. They are currently in action right now in KRI and KJF, so get on over there.
Nick Lewis has the call of that one. That's why he wasn't here with us this evening. We'd like to thank the rest of the Regional Radio Sports crew. We've got Derek back in the studio, Matt Greenwood, my co-host, as well as Andy Humphrey and Chad Speaker joining us this evening, as well as the representatives I just mentioned before from the Perryville Pirates. Week 10, the opening round of the district playoffs on J98. It is Potosi at Perryville. On AM 1400, KJF, DeSoto's at Festus. On KRBI, Hillsborough visits Farmington, and Central will host Fredericktown on your Coles Tractor and Equipment Web TV game. That wraps things up for the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable Show from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington. I'm Sean Malone. If you missed any of the show, you can find it online at MIMOinfo.com later on this evening. Hope you all tune in to us on a Friday night and enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Have a good one.
This weather update brought to you by Best Drive Farmington.
Best Drive Farmington reminds you that underinflated tires run the risk of overheating, which leads to premature failure and will reduce tread life and handling. Best Drive Farmington sells tires of all sizes, from economy car to semi-trucks, and brands such as Continental, General, and many others. Best Drive Farmington also offers alignments by a Hunter Alignment trained technician. When hauling that precious cargo, increase the safety of your loved ones and the life of your tires with proper inflation. Stop by Best Drive Farmington, Highway 67 South in Farmington, or call 756-8383.
When life changes, where can you get the health care that you or your loved one needs? Try Presbyterian Manor, where we consider you family. Being a member of our family means having a skilled, compassionate team making sure you live your best life. Call 573-756-6768 today and schedule a visit to see why the community voted us the best independent living, best assisted living, and best skilled nursing community in the Parkland area.
Put the taste of Mother Nature on your family's dinner table tonight. Wholesome farm fresh dairy products from Prairie Farm.
Whether it's award-winning cottage cheese, yogurts, and dips, or a glass of delicious milk or protein-rich chocolate milk.
Hey, the ice cream's gonna melt if you keep talking.
Families love Prairie Farms, the perfect summer treat or addition to any meal. Fresh, creamy, smooth, nutritious.
And delicious.
Pick up Prairie Farms products on your next trip to the store. Prairie Farms. Dedicated farmers, happy cows, and real milk.
Hi, this is Toby Keith. Stay tuned for more of the best in country music.
J98 The Boot.